holding on Hoek Zion on the Aleph, about the middle of the wide line, Langenbaum Chafi. Okay, so we're in the middle of discussing the story of David and Bathsheba. We went through yesterday, we went through the last couple of days, how it came about and how David regretted it afterwards. Okay. V'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Bikish David Lava David Azara. Later on, when David is running away from Avshalom, he intended to worship Avad Azara. Now, I know you have a bunch of questions about that, obviously, and so do all the Mepharshim. So let's learn the words, and then we'll talk about what that means. Shenema, right? When he was escaping from Avshalom, so this is talking about like 3-4 years before he himself passed away. Shenema, as the pasuk says, he David ba'ada roish asher yishtach v'sham levitim. The pasuk says that David came until the roish, where he would bow to Hashem. So in the simple sense, it means he came to the peak of the mountain from where usually whenever he was traveling and he was coming back to Yerushalayim, he'd see the place where the Aron was and he'd bow there. But the it would be on the outskirts of Yerushalayim. It would be like the top of Harat Sofim or whatever. But the fact that the pasuk uses the word roish, the in roish el avad azara, the word roish over here means avad azara, shenem avahut salmei reshe didahav tov, as we find the pasuk in Daniel describing the statue that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream, that the head of it was made out of pure gold. So we see that head is associated with avad azara. Vehine lekrosse chushay arki, and there behold coming, and there behold coming coming opposite him was chushay arki. He was an old friend of David, and actually a very smart guy. In the end, actually, David tells him to go to Yerushalayim and be a double agent on his behalf, to go and counteract Achitophel's advice. So like this, he got himself into Absalom. When Absalom is going to ask Achitophel for his advice, how to go about with the next stage of the war, then Achitophel will give his advice, Hushai will give his advice, and this way he can counteract Absalom. Yeah. So anyway, so the Chushai Arki, Korua Kutanta, his shirt was torn, Ba'adama al Roshay, and there was earth on his head. Now, the point is, Mepharshim say, the reason why, Chushai Arki, so the point is, he presumably we're not going to say, at least according to the Drasha of the Gemara, that he had his clothes torn and dirt on his head because David is running away from Absalom. That's not necessarily a reason enough to be doing these things. It must be that some kind of disaster is about to happen, namely that David is about to worship Avodah Zarah, in whatever sense that means, which again we'll talk about in a minute. Some of them, of course, will also say the fact that it says Likrosa implies that the guy is coming opposite, like to oppose his plan. Anyway. What's going to happen? People are going to say that a king like you worships Avad Azarah. So David answers, and because if he worships Avad Azarah or does whatever we're going
to
say, because apparently David told him. Again, they were old friends. The fact that the pasuk mentions that he came Ad HaRosh implies, yeah. So David answers, and like this is going to be a chilul Hashem anyway. Melech shekamoti yagenu b'noi. Adrabba, a king like me should be killed by his own son. Mutav yavad avad azara v'ayis chal shem shemayim v'fayasya. Trakeret, it'll be a lesser chilul Hashem. If I worship avad azara, then it'll be an individual chilul Hashem, that I myself have worshipped avad azara, that all of a sudden I was a tzaddik for 60-odd years, and now all of a sudden I'm worshipping avad azara. Wait. But at least people will say, well, then if I get killed, people will say, okay, it's justified. He did an aveira and he got punished for it. Mashenkin, if I don't do that, people are going to think I got killed for no reason. And the whole people are going to call Hashem's justice into question. That'll make a bigger chilul Hashem.
No, everybody will know that Hashem is still fighting to kill him.
Understood. But why does David, who has been a tzaddik his whole life, deserve to be killed by his own son, by Absalom? People are going to say it means that Hashem is unjust. That'll be a bigger chilul Hashem. Therefore, David figures to minimize the chilul Hashem by worshipping Avad Azara. And that way, when he gets killed, people will say, okay, well, he worshipped Avad Azara, he deserved what he got.
But it was the Cheshbonai.
Wait. But that's fine. But David is still saying, I don't want people to think that I'm being punished unjustly. Omar, so Hushai tells him, I'll tell you why you're having this problem. My time of Kondosivit Yifas Toya. Why in the first place did you marry a Yifas? So you know what? Okay, before we continue with what Hushai answers, no, not Bathsheba. Bathsheba is not Yifas Toya. The Macha, who was the mother of Avshalom, she was the daughter of one of the kings in that era. She's the daughter of Talmai Melech Geshur. So at some point in the earlier years, when David had fought a war against this country Geshur, he had captured this Macha and then made her Yifas Toya. And then he had two children with her, Tamar and Avshalom. So now Absalom was rebelling against him. So okay, before we continue with that, actually, fine. Let's finish this part. She was a Gia. Fatar means that she's a Gia. Actually, we learned earlier in the Masechta when we talked about Tamar and Absalom, we talked about there's Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. There's Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos in Kedushin and in some other places whether you're allowed to have relations with the Fatar the first time while she's a Goita, and then if you want to remain married to her, she has to convert. Or is it that you're not even allowed until she converts? According to the opinion, and this is how the Rambam passed in Halacha, that you are allowed to. Well, then very well. He had relations with her. He had with her daughter Tamar, which we learned earlier in the Masechta that therefore Tamar, even though biologically she's David's daughter, is not considered his daughter Halacha. Therefore, conceivably Amnon could have married her. Amnon who lusted after her and eventually raped her. He could conceivably have married her after. Because even though they're biological brother and sister, half brother and sister, whatever, they weren't halacha related because she was born while her mother was, she was conceived rather, while her mother was still a goita. Absalom apparently was born after that, after she was Miss Geyer and became one of David's wives. But still, Hushai is telling him, after all, there's a good reason. People are not going to say that you're being punished unjustly, that you're being persecuted and killed by your son Absalom for no reason. People are going to realize because you did wrong by marrying his mother in the first place. Amalei, the David says, what do you mean? Fast Torah, Rachmana Sharia. The Torah says it's mutter. Why would people think that's causing my problem? Amalei, so Hushai answers him like Darsha Smuchin. Don't you know to Darshan when the Torah puts two topics one next to the other that you're meant to learn from one to the other? Just summit late, shortly after that, in the beginning of Parashat Kisetsa, you have the case of the Yifat Torah, and shortly after that, you have Ki Yilish Ben Sora Ramura. If a person has a son who's a Ben Sora Ramura, meaning Kalam knows the Yifat Torah, Yeshle Ben Sora Ramura. When a person marries the Yifat Torah, he's very likely to have a Ben Sora Ramura. So you don't have to
specifically
a fast Torah, this kind of thing, where the Torah is master, it only Dibra Torah like an idiot to her. Because normally a normal Giyotis is she's this Gaia of her own free will.
Right.
Here we have where you're forcing her, again, according to the opinion that you're allowed to have relations with her the one time while she's a Goita, then you have, that's something unusual, a Dibra Torah like an idiot to her. And even if you say you have to wait until after she's this Gaia, still, she's not coming on her own to be Nisgaya, you captured her in battle, and she still has the option not to do fine, and then you have to send her away.
You have to tell her.
But nevertheless, the fact is that she didn't come into the situation willingly in the first place. So therefore, it's not. It's Lloyd Dibertura.
If she doesn't convert,
you're
going to kill her.
What the Rambam says is actually the halacha is because if she doesn't want to convert, fine. She has to accept Shev Mitzvah Bnei Noach. If not, in general, any goy who's under Jewish sovereignty has to accept Shev Mitzvah Bnei Noach, or else. But so here, she's under Jewish sovereignty. If she wants to accept Shev Mitzvah Bnei Noach, and other than that, remain a goita, and then of course you're not allowed to marry her because hey, she can do that.
Does she know
that? You have to inform her. You have to inform her.
You
have to follow that law. Presumably follow that law. In the event, anyway, she did convert and she did end up having a child with him. But nevertheless, Hushai is saying Hushai is a friend of David. We're saying that David, when he was escaping from Absalom, was going to worship Avodah Zarah, which we haven't yet gotten yet to what that means, what the Mepharshim talk about that. Hushai. So David is saying the reason I want to do that is to minimize the Chilul Hashem. This way, when I'm running away and when I get killed, people will say, okay, well, he deserved it for worshiping Avodah Zarah. As opposed to like this, people are going to think I'm getting punished by Hashem unjustly. So Hushai is telling him it's not unjust. People are going to realize it's because you married a Yifat Torah. Yes, it's mutter, but it's only Dibra Torah Kenegedi Yitzhara. And people know that there's smuchin over there in the Torah, that shortly after the story of the Yifat Torah, you have the story of the Ben Sora Ramota, to imply that there's a connection. People are going to say, okay, you know why David had a Ben Sora Ramota? Because he married a Yifat Torah.
Let me ask you a question. If he's asking David, does he know about smuchin? And presumably,
So there are the portion we talk about maybe David had a reason to think that maybe over here you don't dash and smoke him because you have one other section in between them about the Yilish Shtei Noshim.
We would assume that everybody would know about
the point is that because people, first of all, in those days, people knew Torah. Second of all, the point is if people start asking how you talk and a righteous king like David, why is this happening to him, they'll start investigating and then eventually they'll figure it out. Now, what do we mean by David is planning to worship Avodah Zarah? So you have some of the Mephoshim, the Yad Ramah, for example, who says it means exactly what it sounds like. It doesn't mean, obviously, he's going to believe in the Avodah Zarah, but it means he's going to bow down in front of one, pretending as if he's accepting it. Really, of course, in his heart, he's not. We learned before in the Masechta that technically that doesn't make him chayev for skila, for being Ovid Avodah Zarah. Nevertheless, it'll look to everybody like he is Ovid Avodah Zarah, and that way, later on, again, then therefore nobody's going to question why the Eved Sheder is punishing him. Yeah. You have Marsha, who says that it means he was planning to leave Eretz Yisrael, to escape from Eretz Yisrael, to be out of harm's way. And Hushai tells him, the fact is, the Gemara tells us at the end of Ksubas, that a person leaves Eretz Yisrael, it's like a Doma Kamisha Shein Le'elaka, it's as if he doesn't have the Eidishtik, because he doesn't have the same experience of all the courts as he does in Eretz Yisrael. So Hushai is telling him, maybe you ran away from Shoal many years ago, okay, but you weren't king yet then. But now that you're king, Melech Shekamayitzcha, people are going to say, no. And then there's a third explanation that Rabbi Yonasan Eidishtik gives, which is that to appoint a dayan, or in this case a king, who's unworthy, we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, is like setting up an asherah, like setting up a tree to worship. David figures, you know what, fine, if Avshalom is rebelling, fine, let me just abdicate, I'll resign my kingship, let Avshalom take over, and that way there won't have to be a whole war and all this bloodshed. And Hushai tells him, yes, but if you do that, Avshalom is clearly unworthy to be king. It's like setting up an asherah. It's the equivalent of worshipping Avodah Zarah.
Was worshipping Avodah Zarah Avshalom?
No, but the point is, he's like, unworthy. Because if you king. Set up a dayan, kol ha-mamid dayan chain ha-hogu, is like setting up an asherah. No, Avshalom Beferish did not worship Avodah Zarah. We learned, in fact, last week, we said that Tosfos said that's one reason why David's chosin would have been enough, why David's chosin might have been enough to keep Avshalom out of Gehenim and get him into Gan Eden. Because at least Avshalom didn't worship Avodah Zarah. For all the Averis that he did do, at least not that. So that was the story. Okay. Dorashab de story de minbiri.
So what happened?
So that's it. So he didn't. He convinced him, and that's it. So David didn't carry out his plan, and Hushai went to Yerushalayim, as I say, to work as a double agent and so forth. Yeah.
So this story says, I think he got hurt. He didn't like her after that, right?
You're thinking of Tamar, the daughter of this Yifat Toya, right?
Right.
So what happened was, you learned earlier in the Masechta. We learned in the Chops that Amnon lost it after the sister of his, Tamar, which again, she's his biological half-sister,
right.
Not because her mother was Yifat Toyar. He gets her into his house and then rapes her, and then he hates her and sends her away.
Yeah.
Where in the course of it, she tells him, why do you have to rape me? Dabar na'al ha-malach yulayim na'enimim mecha. Speak to the king, he won't prevent me from marrying you. Now, why not? Aren't they half-brother and sister? Mm-hmm. The answer is because she's the daughter of Yifat Toyar, and therefore she's not considered to be David's daughter, la'alach.
And therefore,
she could marry Amnon in principle. Yeah. Okay. Right.
Who was the father of Amnon?
Amnon's father was David.
Oh,
Tamar's biological father was also David. But again, since she was conceived when her mother was a goethe, she's Avshalom's full biological sister. That's why Avshalom. That's why Avshalom looked out for her, and that's why after Amnon raped her, then Avshalom waited, bided his time, and eventually killed Amnon for it.
He'd like to choose the details of halacha.
Yeah, but that's how it is. The details of halacha are important. Okay. Donashav destoy demin biri. Destoy demin biri said a drasha as follows. Lamad David doima. What can we compare David to in the following discussion between him and Hashem? L'socha kusi. He's like a kusi merchant. Meaning, so what does that mean? Well, Rashi says a kusi merchant is a sharp kind of guy. He sells his chorda little by little. So this way he's able to sell more of it. He's able to move more merchandise. Some of the Mepharshim say actually the other way around, that it means that the Yad Ramah says that it means he's willing to pay a little more. Abi, they don't give him less than he's supposed to be getting. So he gets the full quantity of merchandise. The same way we're going to see over here that David is willing to take on Yisurim in order that none of his chosim are taken away from him. And then there's another explanation that Mepharshim give, that socher over here may mean a poor person who goes around begging from door to door. There's a medrash that says as much. So like you have a kusi beggar, he'll first ask for a drink of water, then he'll ask for an onion to eat with it, and then he'll say, but you know, if you eat an onion on an empty stomach, if it gives you a stomach, you can have some bread with it. So like he works his way up, kind of. So David is doing this kind of thing. The pasuk says, "Yes, me Yavin." Who can understand? Who can understand mistakes? In other words, who can be careful to not ever do an aveda b'shogeg? Please forgive me for that. Amalei. So the Eved Sheder answers, "Okay, shviki loch. Fine, I forgive you for your avedas that you did b'shogeg." So somebody was texting to ask about the schedule of the Shear, so I figured I'd inform him here now. Maybe he'll come now. Okay. Okay, then David continues. So how does the whole pasuk go? We say it every Shabbos and davening. Who can be mindful to be careful of averus b'shogeg from hidden averus cleanse? And then he continues. Gam mizedim chasei habdecha. Also save your eved, meaning me, from zedim, which means averus b'mezid. Al yimshalubi. Let them not rule over me. Od esam. Then I will be perfect. V'nikasi mipesha rov. And I'll be cleansed from great guilt. So now we're going to darshan these words, pasuk by pasuk, phrase by phrase. So first he says, me, and I'm on the Shaviki law. So Abish says, okay, I forgive you. He continues, when he started Nakeni, please forgive me for Averis, even that I did on purpose, but they were done in secret, where nobody knows about them. So there's no Chil Hashem. Okay, Shaviki law. He says, Gam Zedim Chasoy Chabdecha. He continues, also save you Eved from Zedim, from people, from Averis that were done by Mezid, that were even by Fahesia. So he says, Shaviki law. Okay, I can remorkel you for those. But then he continues, he continues, let them not be. Now, Moshe can mean to rule, but it can also mean Moshe marshal, to use them as a marshal. It means, let them not use me as a marshal, then I will be perfect, which means, he's asking, let the Rabbanan, not let the Chachamim throughout the generations not be darshaning about my Avera. Now, what does that mean? The fact of the matter is, we do. We're learning the Gemara right here about his Avera. So they give a couple of explanations. One of them is actually we find it's in the Rambam Hilchos Tefillah. So it was weird not so long ago in Shlosha Prakim that So one thing is we find in Halacha that if that section about, for example, the section about the story of Amnon and Tamar, if that's being read in Shul as a Haftarah, which, okay, it's not one of the standard Haftarahs nowadays, but in olden times, you could pick whatever Haftarah you thought was appropriate to the parasha, then the din is, any pasuk over there where it says Amnon ben David, you don't translate that. That way the Olam doesn't have to realize that David is associated with that kind of gross avera of a guy raping his
in Hebrew, everybody understands.
No, the point is, the whole reason why they had the Aramaic translation in those days was in order for the common people should understand. So like this, if you don't translate...
So the
actual psukim are in Hebrew, but the point is, they didn't show that any time where the pasuk says Amnon ben David, you don't translate that pasuk. So that's one thing. They shouldn't have to talk about me more than necessary. The other explanation Ben Yehoyada says is, let's say, for example, so we know we learn in Sota that when you have a Sota is brought first to the Beis Din, they first try to convince her to confess. If you tackle with Mizana, then confess, and that way we don't have to erase the Eved's name. And we tell her, for example, look, Reuven did with Bila and confessed afterwards. Yehuda did with Tamar, and we tell them the pastures. We don't tell them that Reuven kolo emer Reuven chata in elatoria that he just moved Yaakov's bed, even though that's the truth. We tell her straight out, flat out, that as the pasuk says, the Reuven slept by Yishkav at Bila pelegesh aviv, and yet he did Shuvah afterwards. So the same thing you...
She doesn't know that it was just...
So this, what David is asking for, let them not use me as one of those things. This with me and Bathsheba, let them not use me as one of the examples of when they're trying to convince a soita. Yeah.
Sure.
So that's where the shtob yirabon. And the Ebishter says, okay, yeah, shviki loch. Okay, I'm willing to grant that to you.
But
okay,
it didn't happen. We're still...
No, we don't, because we don't use him for the... We don't use his example for the soita. We use Reuven and we use Yehuda. We do not use David.
By the way, when you're learning the Gemara about really what happened with, you really understand the concept that he wanted to be like a brother, Mr. Yaakov, the test.
Which we said earlier on.
Then it's not look talking bad about him, because we already know the story. We really...
No, but it's still... Okay, but wait. Okay. He says, when he casey me peshadrov, he says, okay, let me be cleansed of great guilt, meaning shalai yikosef sirchoin. Let the whole story not be rewritten in the plastic in the first place. That way nobody will know about it in the future generations. On the lawyer, the Ebishter says, no. That's impossible. My yud shnatalti misarai madach the yud, one letter yud that I took away from Sarai's name. Umid v'tzeveach kamashanim is standing there screaming for many years. How can you take me away from a tzadeka's name? And an adchavo Yeshua by Safila until Yeshua came along hundreds of years later, and I added him the yud. Shenema vayikra Moshe lahishaya bin nun Yehoshua. called a Parasha Kol Alach Haskamah Kamen, which moves an entire parasha in Navi over there that tells about this whole story with you and Rav Sheva. I can't take it out. Okay, put the hay in place of the yud, but still the yud itself. But Adarab says that the Abish should split the yud into two, a hay to Abraham and a hay to Sarah. Nevertheless, the actual letter yud itself is still complaining. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then David continues, when he casey me Peshad Rav, he says, let me be cleansed of great guilt, meaning Amalachon of Ribbonishla, Macholi al Oisa Oven Kuloi. Fine, at least forgive me completely for the Abera. Omar, so Hashem says, that's a problem. Look, Shlomo, your son, is eventually going to say with his chachma and say from Mishle. He says two psukim like this.
So this Avin is talking about
is that Avin of Bathsheba? Yeah, no, that of Bathsheba.
Now we're talking about
now we're back to Bathsheba. Hayach the ish ish b'chekoi. Can a person pick up coals into his lap of God of Loitis Arafna and his clothes won't get burnt? Im yahalach ish al gecholim. Can a person walk on coals v'ragla of Loitis Kavena and his feet won't get burnt? Cain, same way. Habal ish yisrael. A person who has relations with somebody else's wife, lo yunaka kolanegeya, but will not be cleansed. Anybody who touches her. Okay, technically she wasn't. Yeah, the Eivishter is saying. So therefore, how can you be cleansed completely of this Avera? And why she wasn't technically an Eish Fish, but still it looked to the Olam like it was. So therefore you still have that Avera, that it appears. So the Eish is saying, how can I be Michael? You're the whole Avera. The Marshal says, why the double comparison, that we're comparing it to clothes getting burnt and to feet getting burnt? He says clothes represent a person's mitzvahs. Feet represent the feet that we stand on, the source of the others. Meaning neither a person's own schosim nor the schosim of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are going to help a person who's nizana with an eshes ish. So therefore, David, you're in trouble. Amalei, so David says, kol hochi nitreda hu gavra. Is that it then? Am I a goner? Am I going to be pushed away forever? And there's no way. Nitred literally means to be pushed away. Am I going to be pushed away completely? There's no way to be completely moichel de avera. Amalei, so the Eibishter answers in kabbalah lachi yisurin. Okay, accept on yourself yisurin, and that will help to get the avera completely forgiven.
Now this is the Aver, we're still talking about Bathsheba.
We're still talking about Bathsheba. So even though, again, technically it wasn't because she was divorced at the time, or Al-Tanai or not Al-Tanai or whatever, and even though, whatever, nevertheless,
right.
It still gave the appeal.
Everybody thought that it was. She was pregnant at that time?
This is long after. This is at some later point. She got pregnant. When David realized there's going to be a Chil Hashem from this, let me bring Uriah back home so he can go home, and that way people will think she's pregnant with him. Okay, you're saying when who was pregnant? When Bathsheba was pregnant?
Yeah.
This is long after. But what happened? David had relations with Bathsheba while Uriah was away.
Right.
Then
she
wasn't pregnant. No. Then she becomes pregnant, and then David realizes now we have a problem. Everybody's going to know about it, and it's going to make a chilul Hashem.
Right.
So he brings Uriah home from the war, intending to send him home. That way he'll be with his wife. That way people will think that she's pregnant from Uriah, from her husband, rather than it making a chilul Hashem. That it'll appear that it was with David, from David.
Right.
Uriah didn't want to go home.
Isn't that a problem?
It's not the best thing. It's not the best thing. It would mean David would have to monitor and make sure that boy doesn't end up growing up and, for example, when he grows up marrying one of David's daughters.
Yeah, right. To tell them, isn't what to tell both parents.
No. You have a rule in halacha that says roiv be'ilah takes a labal. That in general, a married woman has a child. The chazaka is that it's her husband's child.
Chazaka.
Okay. So then David would know the truth. Then Bathsheba would know the truth. Nobody else.
Then
know.
Why didn't talk to Yoram about it?
So that after Uriah refused to go home, so that's not going to work. Then everybody's going to know Uriah wasn't home. Then David figured in that case Uriah the murderer malchus. He's disobeying a direct order from the king. Besides, which he also called Yoav Adoni. He called him my master in David's presence. So then David figured plan B then is we'll send a secret message to Yoav, have Uriah to arrange that Uriah gets killed in the battle. And again, the problem with that was eventually that Yoav unsealed the letter and showed everybody, and therefore everybody knew, and therefore everybody put two and two together and figured out what happened. Different places. They're in different Gemaras, different Midrashim. It's all over the place. Okay. So Kabbal Alacha Yisurin, so accept on yourself Yisurin. Kibbal Olav, so David accepted Yisurin on himself.
The
first baby actually died. That was the nothing on earth comes to David and says, part of your punishment is that baby is going to die, which had to happen.
So the baby
then,
was born and died?
He was born and then died. He lived for a few days and died.
From this
first time. Afterwards, afterwards, but afterwards, after Uriah was dead, David married Bathsheba legally, which, by the way, also shows that it wasn't Znus, because, again, Kashem Shasur Labao, Kachasur Laboil, if it had been that he actually,
yeah. No, of
okay, well, no, the point is, the halacha is, we know that just like a woman is also to her husband, if she's Mizana, willingly with somebody else, so she's also to the one she was Mizana with to ever marry him, even after her husband dies or divorces her. Mm-hmm. If this had been complete, if she had actually been an Eshet Ish at the time, she would be also to marry David.
And she wasn't.
And she wasn't.
So it shows that it wasn't.
She was.
Yeah, well, there you go then. Okay. Yeah. So Kibbul Olav, so David accepted Yisurim on himself. Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, Shisha Chadasha Mitzara David, the Yisurim were that for six months David suffered from Tzaras, when Yisraukehim and Shechina, the Shechina left him, Upirshu and Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin had to stay away from him because he's a Masuri, he had to stay outside the city.
Which,
all because of these Yisurim that he accepted on himself as a result of the thing of Bathsheba. Yeah. Maral points out, by the way, that means he was punished in all three ways: in his guf, because he had tzaraas on his guf; in his seichel, that the Sanhedrin are away from him, so he can't discuss Torah with them; and in his nefesh, that the Shechina was away from him. Just 6 months.
Just 6 months
is a lot. That was enough time. I don't know.
He can't be with his family and his wives either.
This is, well, we learned actually before. We said earlier on the Amud that actually even when he was sick, he still had relations with his wife, because there are possibilities over there. When it's possible that a Mitzurah is allowed to have relations. The Gemara discusses it in Murid Kodin. I don't remember if it comes to a conclusion. I think the halacha is he's allowed to. Yeah, in Yerushalayim also. I mean, that he'd have to be outside the city of Yerushalayim.
The king outside the city?
I guess so. Yeah, and much later, Yabu Ziyahu, one of the middle kings of Yehuda, became a Mitzora, and he also had to stay outside the city for the year. Okay. Nitzara, how do we know David got Tzaraas? Because you have the Pasuk in Kapitel Nun Aleph, which is the Kapitel where David is doing tshuva for this thing with Bathsheba. The Royal of Nathan and Avichal Sherbal Bathsheba. He said, Tachat eni be'ezev be'etar, cleanse me with Ezev. What?
Nun Bez.
Nun Aleph. Nun Bez is about David.
Okay.
Yeah. Cleanse me with Ezov and I'll become pure. So that means he needs an Ezov, like a Mitzvah, after the beginning of Parashas Mitzvah, where it describes that you need an Ezov as part of the process of making a Mitzvah Tar. Wash me, umishelag albin, and I'll be whiter than snow. Which means, Marshall says, right now he's as white as snow as with Sarah. He wants to be white as snow, in other words, to be cleansed of the Avera. How do we know the Shechina left him? Because you have another pasuk in that capital. Hashiva li sison yishecha, return to me the joy of your saving. Ruach nedivas ismecheni, and support me with a generous spirit, meaning the spirit of Ruach HaKodesh. Or perishu mena sanhedrin dichtiv, because a different pasuk elsewhere in Tillim says, Yeshuvu li yireecha v'goyim, may those who fear you, Hashem, come back to me, implying that they were away from him. Why? Because he had tzaraas. Okay, Shisha Chadashim Minol, and how do we know that it lasted for 6 months? Like this. David the Pasuk says that David ruled over the Jewish people for 40 years. The Chevron Malach Sheva Shonim, and Chevron he ruled for 7 years. Or Yerushalayim Malach Shloshim Mishalash Shonim, and Yerushalayim he ruled for 33 years. But a different Pasuk earlier says, the Chevron Malach HaYehuda Sheva Shonim, and Shisha Chadashim Minol. Earlier it says that he ruled in Chevron for 7 years and 6 months. Like a chashiv. So in the end, in the total, it doesn't mention the 6 months. Shema mina nitzara. That means he had tzaraas, and therefore those 6 months are not counted towards his malchus. Now, the 6 months weren't when he was in Chevron. This story happened in Yerushalayim much later. So Mekoreshim say, the point is, the pasuk didn't want to do 7.5 years in Chevron and 32.5 years in Yerushalayim. That would be too wordy. So the point is, the very fact that it left out 6 months means that there were 6 months over there when he wasn't considered fully a king because he had tzaraas. So therefore we see 6 months. That shows he got tzaraas. So how old was he when the story of Bathsheba happened? So I think the calculation we said before is that Shlomo was 12 when David passed away. So before that you have to have time for two pregnancies, because again there's the pregnancy with Shlomo himself and the pregnancy with his first baby who died. So therefore you're talking all this happened about 14 years before David passed away. So you're talking about then David was in his mid 60s.
Why 14 years for two pregnancies?
3 years for two pregnancies, approximately a year and a half, whatever it was for two pregnancies, and 12 years that Shlomo was 12 years old when David passed away.
14 years.
So 14 years. So it means they was 55, 56, whatever.
Oh, also having it over.
Yeah. And that's, by the way, Mephoshim said that's part of the next thing we're going to have is that the Abishter tells him that I'm going to demonstrate after you pass away that I fully forgave you Avera. And the Ben Yoyada says, so why can't the Abishter show it while he's alive? And the answer is that the gist of the answer is that then like this one happens only after David passes away. What we're gonna have, what's gonna happen, and what the Gemara is gonna describe in a minute, is meant to teach people the whole reason this happened was really by rights. Logically, such a thing should never have happened in the first place. Especially, that's the point. The Gemara has an expression in Yoma that once a person has lived more than half their life and not done Averis, generally speaking, they're not prone to falling into Avera. Now here, David is already in his mid-50s, all of a sudden he stumbles with Bathsheba. Must be. People will realize once they see that because of him, the gates of the Beis Hamikdash open, as the Gemara is going to say in a minute, after he passes away, people are going to realize the whole thing only happened in order to demonstrate to the world the power of Tshuva. Not because David himself was somebody who normally should have succumbed to such a thing, and they can see that by the fact, look, it only happened when David was in his mid-50s.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Something like that. Yeah, I mean, you can have. You have Yochanan and Kohen Gadol who became a Sadduki after 80 years. But generally speaking, the Gemara says, Kivin Sha'ogu, Roy Shnoit, Shaladim, Vlei Chot, Oshu, Vene Chayti. Okay.
Where does
that say? It's a Gemara in Yuma. Okay. Omel of Fonav. So now David continues, Your Burnish Shaladim, Bechoyli Aloy Sa'ogan. Okay, David says to the Ebishter, now after we had those 6 months of Tzaraf, those 6 months of Yisurin, now be Mochel me for the Avera. So David says, "Okay, Mocholoch, fine. Now you're Nimchol." Mm-hmm. But David continues with another pasuk in Tehillim. I say, "Imi ois b'tova, make for me a sign for good. V'yudos sonai, let my enemies see the ones who are making fun of me over the whole thing. V'yevoshu, and they'll be embarrassed. Ki ata Hashem ata tani min chamtoni, let them see that you Hashem have helped me and comforted me." Yes. So in other words.
He's doing his own kavod, or he's doing it for kavod?
He's doing it for Shemayim, but like this, my enemies should see that a Jewish king, like David HaMelech, he's not that kind of person.
Because it would be a
zilzul HaMishlam. Yeah. So the Ebrish answers him, I'm not going to make it happen. I'm not going to inform them while you're alive. I'm not going to make such a simon. But I will make it known during the lifetime of your son Shlomo. That's what I was just saying from Ben Yehoyada. That if it happens while David was alive, people will say, okay, he did Shuvah, fine. But like this, okay, he actually did the Aveda. It was a real honest-to-goodness Aveda that he did. But okay, he did Shuvah. Like this one. In other words, if it happens while David is alive, if the Eishah shows a sign that he was Mechalim, people are going to say, okay, David really was Mezana with a real honest-to-goodness Eishah. But he did Shuvah, so okay, the Eishah was nice to him. Like this, when it happens only after David dies, people are going to realize that the whole thing only happened not because David himself was b'chal somebody susceptible to such a thing, but in order to show the world the power of Shuvah. Okay, how is it? B'shal Shabana Shlomo as Beis Hamikdash, when Shlomo built the Beis Hamikdash, Bikish Lahachnes Oren LeBeis Kodesh HaKodeshim, he wanted to bring in the Oren into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, Dovku Sha'orim Zebazeh, but the gates were stuck together, stuck closed, and he couldn't open them. In the Medrash, actually, it says a little bit differently. Shlomo had built a larger Oren of 10 amos wide, and the gates themselves were exactly 10 amos wide, so it wouldn't fit in. So David said 24, not David, Shlomo said 24 renonos, which means like praises or pleas to Hashem, and he still wasn't answered. How do we get 24? Rashi says if you count up the number, Shlomo has a long tefillah over there by the dedication of the Beis Hamikdash. It's in Melachim, it's in Divrei Hayamim. If you count the number of times he uses the expression tefillah, tchina, rina, altogether there are 24. So that's the 24 renonos that he said, this whole long tefillah. Okay. There's other explanations. The Yad Ramah says the 24 kafit lachtilim that begin with such expressions. There's another explanation from one of the Achronim that says that the psukim that we're going to quote now are from the end of kafit lachtilim of tilim. So he said all 24, the first 24 kafit lachtilim. At the time, he was 19, because he was 12 when he became king, and this is, he was 23, because he was 12 when he became king. They started the building of the Beis Hamikdash in the fourth year of his reign, so he's 16. It took them 7 years, so he's 23. Okay, so he says he's 24 to Nunus, and he still wasn't answered. Omar, so he says, as the Pasuk says, Su'ur Sharam Rasheichem, gate, lift up your head, V'inoso Pitcheirlam, raise yourself up, eternal doors, V'yavei Melech HaKavod, let the glorious king come, and they answer, Mizeh Melech HaKavod, so who's this glorious king? Are you talking about yourself or something? No, Hashem Izuz V'gibra, Hashem Gibra Mochama, V'nema Su'ur Sharam Rasheichem, V'su Pitcheirlam, V'yavei Melech HaKavod, and still V'leinana, and still they're not answering him. They're still saying, Kiven Sha'omar, then Shlomo adds another pasuk that's brought only in Divrei Hayamim, not in Malachim, even in the description of the story, only in Divrei Hayamim. Hashem Alekim, Al Toshev Pnei Mashiachecha, Hashem Alekim, don't turn back the face of your Mashiach, of your anointed one, meaning David, Zochra Lachafti, David Abdecha, remember the kindness, remember the tzidkus of David, your servant, Miyad Nena. Then he was answered and the gates opened up.
Hashem did it purposely.
At that moment, the faces of all of David's enemies turned black like the bottom of a pot out of embarrassment. And now everybody saw the public thing that the Eved has forgiven David for that sin. But it was Bathsheba.
This is how many years after David and Melech? 20
this
years?
Is 11 years after.
So in other words, people didn't know until that time.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, the people of Tishrei, people say that it came to Sanhedrin. What's the halacha for?
Yeah, that's we learned Tanamara. Yeah, we learned that in the Gemara.
And he said that if you cut him up,
that
his blood won't come out.
Blood won't come out because he's so embarrassed. Okay. So now we got to get to the last person mentioned in our Mishnah. We said there were seven individuals our Mishnah had mentioned that Ein Lam Chelus Adam Abba. We've gone through already. We went through Yerovam, Achav, and Menasha, the three kings. We went through of the Hadyotis. We had Bilam, Doeg, and Achitofel, who we've gone through, and now we have Gehazi. I know it's a pity that we're so far behind. Otherwise, we could have learned it during the week when it was appropriate. All right. So Gehazi, what's the story with Gehazi? How did it come about that he lost his Chelus Adam Abba? It's like this. He was Elisha's servant and Talmud. So we have him in today's Haftarah. We had him that he's traveling along with Elisha and he's by the Isha Shemamis, and Elisha uses him as a go-between him and her. Yeah, of course he's Jewish. Yeah. And then afterwards he sent him with a stick to be Machia Mason and it didn't work. So yeah. Who, Gehazi? He was a mushkas, as we're going to see. Okay, so you know what? Maybe what we should do is maybe let's give a summary of what happens with Gehazi and Tanakh, because we're going to be telling it kind of out of order. Okay, so we first meet up with Gehazi over here in the story that was today's Haftarah, where Elisha is traveling to Shunem and he stays by this old couple's house, and they build him a special room, and then Elisha says to Gehazi, what do you think we can do good for them? Call her in, see if they need anything. Okay. And then later on, Elisha sends Gehazi with a stick to be Machia Mason, the kid. And Gehazi goes, and nothing happens. We know the famous story that when Gehazi is going on the way there, and he's not supposed to be talking to anybody. Elisha specifically tells him, it's in Haftarah, if anybody talks to you, don't answer them, because I don't want to be Mephaus in the nest more than necessary. But instead, what happens is, when Gehazi is going along over there, and people ask him, so where are you going? Oh, I'm going to be Machia Mason. Yeah, sure, the stick is going to work to be Machia Mason. And of course, nothing comes of it. And then Elisha himself has to go and do mouth-to-mouth resuscitation on the kid.
What was the point? He didn't want to be Mechaim Mason?
He didn't believe in it, maybe, or whatever. He didn't believe in the... Okay. Next. Okay. Then after that, you have another story as follows. You have after that the story of Naaman, the Arami general over there, who has Saras, where he comes to Elisha. Elisha tells him to go bathe in the Yarden, and he gets cured. He comes back, he wants to offer Elisha a lot of money and goods and whatever, and Elisha doesn't want to take it.
One thing I never understood about the story, the person who gave the advice was a Jewish girl who was enslaving him.
Yeah, yeah.
Why not just set free her?
Because they did afterwards, I don't know.
I don't know.
History doesn't record that detail.
Okay.
Anyway, so Gehazi, being a greedy kind of person, thinks to himself, what a pity all that money and everything is going away, I should get myself some of it. So he goes, runs after Naaman, and convinces him falsely that Elisha does need some of it. He's got new Talmidim or whatever. The Gemara in Erchin says he even swore falsely to that effect. And Naaman gives him stuff. He goes, hides it away. He comes
with
Elisha, yeah. So Gehazi goes and hides away the stuff. He comes back, and Elisha is very angry at him and curses him that you're going to have Naaman's Sarah. Mm-hmm. And Gehazi leaves. The next thing we have after that, we only have one more time after that where Gehazi's name is mentioned, and that's later on. He's talking with the Melech Yisrael and then telling him about some of the nisim that Elisha did. But that, the Gemara is not going to mention that because it's not relevant to our thing. Later on, you have the story, which is that Torah of Parshas Metzora. You have four Metzoraim by the gate of Shomron over there while there's a siege and a famine going on. They discover that the whole camp over there is abandoned because Hashem made a nest, and the Aramim heard noises and they thought enemies are coming to attack them, so they all ran away. And these four Metzoraim go and inform the guards, who eventually inform the palace, and they go out, and sure enough, they find everything is available over there, and all of a sudden the siege is broken and the famine is over.
That's during the time of?
This is all during the time of Elisha.
The king.
The king at the time was Yehoram. Okay.
And Gehazi was
one of these four Metzoraim.
Yeah.
And he and his son, as the Gemara is going to say soon. Okay. Then the last thing we have is that the Gemara is going to start now, kind of at the end, with later on the pulses. So let's talk about it in terms of Prakim. I know the Prakim come from the Goyim, but there's still a handy way to summarize where we stand. The story with the Ish Asher Naamah is in Perek Dalet. The story with Naamah is in Perek Hay. The story with and I forgot to mention, after the story with Naaman and after Gehazi leaves, the next thing that happens at the beginning of Perek Vav is Elisha's Talmidim tell him, it's too crowded here in our Beit Medrash, let's go build a new one. That's the beginning of Perek Vav. The rest of Perek Vav for our purposes isn't relevant. Perek Zayin is a story about the Avah and Noshim Mitzrayim and then the siege and the famine and whatever, and the beginning of and then in Perek Ches you get to the passage where what the Gemara is going to start quoting over here. Vayelech Elisha Damesek. It says over there, Elisha went to Damesek. Now, the actual words in the passage are really Vayobar Elisha Damesek. Elisha came to Damesek. So the question is, Lahecha Ozo, where did he go? So what's the point of the question? Damesek is in Aram. It's in Aram. It's in Syria. It's now Damascus. Yes.
Right. Which
it's part of the kingdom. It's the capital of the kingdom of Aram. Okay.
Same of Ashur.
No, Ashur and Aram. Ashur is in Iraq. Ashur is Iraq, Aram is Syria. Yeah. Okay. So.
That's Damascus currently?
That's the same Damascus currently, yeah. Okay. Now, the pasuk goes on to say over there what Elisha accomplished there in Damascus. That Ben Hadad, the king of Aram, is sick, and he sends Chazoil, one of his ministers or whatever, to find out, am I going to recover? And it's a whole long story over there, but whatever. That's not. The point of the Gemara's question is, Marashal says, usually when a person comes to a place, usually the pasuk will say, Vayelech Elisha Damascus, or it'll say, Vayelech Elisha Vayobay Damascus, or something like that. Vayobay Elisha Damascus implies he came there for some other purpose. And while he was there, Chazoil met up with him and the rest of the story developed. Why did he go to Damascus? What happened was that Elisha went to Damascus because that's where Gehazi was at the time, and he went to try and get him to do tshuva. What is Gehazi doing in Damascus? The Radak and the Pasuk says an interesting thing. Given that Gehazi got his saras through the whole story with Naaman, maybe he figured to go to Naaman, who lived in Damascus, he was the general of the Arami army, and ask him for help. Whatever it was, the point is Gehazi was in Damascus at the time. So therefore, Elisha went there in order to talk to Gehazi. Uh-huh. But Gehazi did not want to do tshuva. Namely, Amaloi, Elisha tells him, Chazar b'cha, do tshuva. Amaloi, and Gehazi says, I can't. Tach b'kublani m'cha, I myself learned from you, my Rebbe, achoyti u'machti yisra, I'm somebody who does averis and causes other people to do averis as well, the public to do averis, ain't maspikim b'yadu l'asas tshuva. You're not given an opportunity to do tshuva. Now, that's not a true answer, because, as the Alter Rebbe points out in Tanya, all it means is the Eivishter won't help him to do tshuva. Usually, I've all the time in the Sinai, he said, but it won't happen in this case. But dochak v'nichnas, if he pushes through, he can make it. But Gehazi used that as an excuse to say, I'm not going to do tshuva. So how was he chot you machtis rabim? My obad, what did he do? Ikadamri evin she'evas tolo l'chachas yirovam. One opinion is, he put up magnets on Yerovam's statues. Now, we know 100-odd years before that, Yerovam had made his Egle HaZahav. They're made out of gold. Gold is not a magnetic metal. But what Gehazi did, according to this opinion, is he secretly attached iron plates to it so it can be attracted by magnets. Then he put up the Yad Ramah describes. He put up like big magnets in the walls over there on either side of the Egel. He put up big magnets in the wall where nobody would see them. And all of a sudden, now the Egel is floating in the air. From the force of the magnet, but nobody realized magnets weren't a known thing. He put them like on the sides of the eagle, and then in the walls over there. Whatever it was, he used powerful magnets for that, and all of a sudden, then the thing is floating in the air, and all of a sudden, everybody thinks, hey, there must be validity to it, and more people came and worshipped it than before. That's Chosiu Machti Yisrael. Yeah.
Wow, this.
Yeah, the Ikad the Hamida Ben Shemayim Oret. So he made it stand there in the air between heaven and earth. The Ikadamri, another version is of what he did wrong. Shem Chokak Lufia, he engraved the name of the Eidishter in the eagle's mouth. And that gave it the power to all of a sudden start calling out Anoichi V'Layilach. Which, okay, Anoichi V'Layilach obviously referred to the Eidishter. I am Hashem and you should worship nothing else. But that misled people into thinking, hey, this eagle is the real Hashem. So let's worship it.
So he made it talk? Or just
yeah, he made it talk. Yeah. He made it talk.
Magnets?
No. Magnets is one thing. Magnets is hold on. The magnet is one thing to make it up in the air. The second version is he engraved the name of Hashem inside its mouth, and that name of Hashem had the power to give an inanimate object like that, a golden statue, the ability to talk. It's not quite the same thing.
But it's
using a name of Hashem. It's using Kabbalah Mises. He knew these things of a practical Kabbalah. The Ikadamri, a third version is what he did wrong, it's what how he was Chotel Master Saddam, Rabbonon Docha Mikameh. He prevented Talmidim from coming and learning by Elisha's yeshiva. Shenema, because you have, again, the Perek Hay is the story of how he got Sarah. The beginning of Perek Vav, the first part, Vayomu B'nei HaNavim El Elisha, the B'nei HaNavim say to Elisha, Hinyin Na'am Makam Asha Anachna Yoshvim Shom L'Fanacha, behold this place, this Beis Medrash where we're sitting here in front of you, Sari Menu was too small for us, because Ad Hashto Le'ab was Sari, implying it wasn't too small up until then. Why not? Because up until then, when Gehazi was around, he would prevent Talmidim from coming, so therefore they have plenty of room in the Beis Medrash. Now that Gehazi is out of the picture, all of a sudden all Talmidim are coming, and now all of a sudden the Beis Medrash is crowded, and therefore they have to build a bigger one.
Terrible.
So therefore we see that he was preventing people from coming. Yeah.
Even when he was good days, when he was a good one.
Yeah, apparently even when he was good. The Yerushalmi says, how did he do that? I think the Yerushalmi says, one of them, of course, he says, I don't remember, maybe the Medrash, whatever. What he did is he would sit outside the Medrash. And when people would come by, what people would come by and see, hey, look, Gehazi, the big Talmud Chacham, is sitting outside. Obviously, there must not be anything worthwhile to go in to learn by Elisha. By it. Okay.
Turn it up
on him. Olam tehei smel dochavim in the
karev.
This
is really when he turned back, isn't it?
No, this is no, apparently even before.
Good days,
apparently
good
even
days.
Even in his good days, he was still a mushchut to begin.
Wow.
Turn it up on him. Olam tehei smel dochavim in the karev. You should always have the left hand pushes away and the right hand brings close, meaning that your right hand is stronger. No, you have to push a person away. Do it like weakly, but bring it, always show that there's a way to come back. Not like Elisha who pushed away Gehazi with both hands, which in particular the Mepharshim say it's the fact that he gave him Sarat, which means therefore he's not allowed to be in town. It includes the fact that he gave his children Sarat as well, so like his children are not going to be able to talk him out of doing Averis. So in other words, he completely pushed away Gehazi with both hands, and that was wrong. He should have given him an opportunity to come back, and we have over here another part, the first little part over here in Rashi letters at the top, which of course the censors cut out. And also not like Yerushua ben Prachya, who pushed away Yeshua HaNotri with both hands, as the Gemara will tell the story soon. It's not an R printed Gemara, because of course the censors cut it out, but we have it in uncensored Gemara.
And the fact that he went there to ask him to come to true, that wasn't true.
It was too late already. By that time, he had already done these things with the magnets or the shame or whatever in that way, so therefore he used it as an excuse. I'm quoting Matthias at Adam. In other words, Elisha shouldn't have pushed him so completely away in the first place. He should have given him the opportunity to do tshuva beforehand, and then he would have never been a quoting Matthias at Adam. Right. What's the story with Gehazi? It's like this. The pasuk says, "Vayomer Naamah." No. So we're going to get back to this soon. There were two parts. There's a one line of a year, "Valaki Yeshua ben Prachya," and then the details of Rav Yeshua ben Prachya we're going to get to later in the Gemara, after we deal with the story of Gehazi. So, what's the story of Gehazi? Dichtiv, it's like this. "Vayomer Naamah." It says that. So Naamah was cured of his sarath by Elisha. Then he wants to give Elisha presents and money and goods and whatever, and Elisha doesn't want to take. Then Gehazi, though, figures, what a pity, all that stuff is going to go back with Naaman. So he runs after Naaman, and he says, two Talmidim just came to the Beis Medrash, so Elisha sent me because we do need some stuff for them. And Naaman says, so he asks for a kicker, among other things, a kicker of silver. So Naaman says, please, take two kickers. And actually, Rashi brings over here on the basis of a Gemara in Erchin that hoyel means swear. Like Naaman was suspicious over here. One minute Elisha is saying, I don't want anything. The next minute he's sending his Talmud to run after and say, I do need stuff after all. Swear that your Rebbe sent you. And he swore falsely. The Gemara in Erchin mentions, in fact, the seven Averis for which a person can be chayat sarah, that for which a person can be punished with sarah, one of them is swearing falsely. The Gemara learns it from this story.
Swearing with Hashem's name?
Yeah. Anyway, by Yifrat, so he begged him, by Yifayot, and so sure enough, he gave him the two kicker, and he hid it he concealed it in two handkerchiefs, and went and put it away in his house, and then went to the Beis Medrash. By Yomer Elam Elisha, so Elisha says to him, when he comes back to the Beis Medrash, Ma'ayim Gehazi, Gehazi, where are you coming from? By Yomer Loholach Abdecha Ona Va'ona, so he says, you're Evid, meaning I didn't go any place special. By Yomer Elav, and Elisha gives it to him with both barrels. Lo libi holach, don't you think my heart went along with you? Kasha hofach ishmael merkav to the troska. When that man Naaman turned around from his chariot to greet you to find out what you need. In other words, I know I have ruach hakodesh. I know exactly what happened over there. Ha'eis l'kachas v'kesef. Is it? Do you think that it's the proper time to be taking silver for l'kachas begodim and to be taking clothes v'zeisim ukronim and olive groves and no, hold on, you're more than ask. And v'zeisim ukronim and olive trees and vineyards v'tzoyn uvoker and sheep and cattle v'avodim u'shvachas and servants and maids. The question is, mishakukolai. What do you mean? Geichel didn't take all that stuff. Kesef begodim u'shvachas. He only took the first two things on the list: silver and clothes. So Rabbi Yitzchak says, what happened was like this. What happened was, at the point when Gehazi walked into this medrash, Elisha was sitting and teaching his Talmidim about the Shmona Shrotim. Meaning Rashi says, there's a Perek in Shabbos that begins Shmona Shrotim. It doesn't really talk about the Dinim of Tumah Tara per se. It talks about Dinim as far as the Malachas of Shabbos. If you wound one of these animals, if you cause a bruise on such an animal, you're chayev for doing a Malacha. Because the blood that pools under the skin was actually part of today's three parakim of Rambam. But he was learning that at that point. Now let's give the background. What's the story? It's odd that the Gemara tells over the story in its own words instead of just referring us to the psukim. And we'll read through what the Gemara says, and then I'll tell you what Maharsha says, why the Gemara feels the need to do that. So what happened was like this. Naaman Sarsuva Melech Aram. This Naaman was the general of the king of Aram, Mitzora, and he was a Mitzora. So this young girl said, "Bishtaboi me'arid Yisrael, we've been taken captive from out Yisrael," like you said, Naftali. If you go to Elisha Masiloch, he will cure you. He also, so when Naaman comes, Elisha tells him, "Zil tvel b'yardin, go dip in the yardin." So Naaman figures, you're making fun of me. There's plenty of good rivers where I come from. Seven times, he told him. So Naaman gets angry, why should I bother? There are plenty of good rivers by Damascus where I live. Why do I need to come all the way over here for this?
He got angry and made fun of
him. Whatever, well, and the Pasuk says that he got angry. Whatever, in the Gemara, Achuchi Kamachaychas, he figures, you're making fun of me. Achuchi means laughter. You're making fun of me. But the people who were accompanying Naaman said to him, "My nafkalachmina, so what do you care? What do you have to lose? Zil nasi, go try it out. You got nothing to lose." Sure enough, also the top of a yardina, he went and dipped in the yardin, the ipsi, and he was cured. Also, Isaac Kohani did knock it, so Naaman is bringing Elisha all these treasures that he had brought along with him. And Elisha didn't want to take any of them. However, Gehazi took leave of Elisha, pretending like he has to go to work or something. He went and falsely claimed to Naaman that Elisha actually sent him to get some stuff, and he took whatever he took, the afkid, and he deposited it in his house. He also, now when he came back to this medrash, Chazia Elisha lo tzaras to have a porche ilavei reshe. Elisha saw that he already has tzaras on his head. Amalei, so Elisha tells him, Rosha, do you think that it's the appropriate time now to be taking the reward for the Shmona Shrotim? In other words, that's why we said before that Elisha was teaching the parrot beginning Shmona Shrotim. So now, what is this? Why does he mention eight things in the pasuk? He mentioned Kesef, Begodim, Zeisim, Kromim, Tzoyin, Boker, Avodim, Ushvachas. Do you think it's appropriate that you should be taking these things as a reward or a schar for the Shmona Shrotim?
What do you mean, the Shmona Shrotim?
For learning Torah, because we're learning Shmona Shrotim, and you think that you should be taking material goods. In other words, the vote is, I think the Yad Ramah says, what it means is, in other words, he's saying to him effectively, okay, so you've taken those things, that means you've been paid off for your Torah in this world. In that case, you have no schar lo elam abo, because you took it all in this world, because you took enough money to be able to buy all these eight things with. And therefore, he says, "V'tzaras Naaman tidbach b'chol v'zarachad erlam." So therefore, the tzaras of Naaman should remain on you and your children forever. And actually, Maharsha says that's the connection also with the fact that we're learning Shmona Shrotim. As he said, just like a sheret causes more and more tumor in the world, a dead sheret, even a tiny bit of it, a lentil sized piece makes tumor. The same way, tumor is going to continue in your descendants forever. Vayetzel afonim mitzora kasholeg, and sure enough, Gehazi left there with tzaras as white as snow. But that's the point. Elisha pushed him away with both hands rather than giving him an opportunity to do tshuva. We're saying he was wrong in doing that.
By giving him and all his generations a curse.
Yeah, that's the point. In other words, already he had Saras. Okay, fine, because he was by now over there. But still, that should continue in his children and that he should, and Bechlau, that it should be such a punishment to Sarath, where then he has to be sent out of the city or whatever. Yes.
What should the children be so punished?
Because they were involved with it also. That the Mephoshim and Pasuk explained that they were also involved in helping him hide it and whatever. So therefore they were accomplices.
What about Aaron and Cohen's children? Why were they punished? They were not involved in the same two when the two got punished.
Maybe Taka. Maybe that was. I mean, they're. Rashi says that Tefillah helps Mechza. Yeah,
should
have been on board.
Why should that happen?
Good question.
The question
is why, for example, with Aaron making the eagle, why were two of his children, Nadav and Abihu, punished? But they had their own problems. They had the various other things. They were Shesuya Yayin, they weren't married or whatever. So therefore, Kitrug could be chal on them as a result of their behavior of their father.
They took Aaron being killed himself, went on the children. It was supposed to be completely.
Yeah. I don't know.
So the Sanagor departed at that point.
It could be
Okay.
And therefore, when the Pasuk says, later on, the Pasuk says, before Mitzrayim, by the entrance of the gate, that is Gechazin is three sons. Which Marashah says, the vote is, because otherwise, the Pasuk would say, the fact that it says, Hoyu Mitzrayim, Pesach Hashar, implies that they all became in Mitzrayim as a result of one thing. Okay, so Marashah says, why does the Gemara have to retell the whole story instead of you could just look it up in the Pesukim yourself? Basically, he explains is this girl, when she's telling Naaman to go to Elisha, she's saying, Elisha is a Navi, he'll be able to do a nest for you. What happens when Naaman comes? Elisha says, sure, I'm going to do a nest. But a nest usually should be malubash in teva. It should usually be clothed in teva. So therefore, he tells him to go dip it in the yajur. In other words, B'derech HaTeva, sometimes you have certain rivers are medicinal and do good for Tzaraas or whatever. So Naaman gets angry. He figures the whole thing is going to be B'derech HaTeva then. There's no nest involved at all. Why did I bother coming all this way? B'derech HaTeva, the rivers in Damascus are much better for that. And when they tell him, Zil Nasi, when the Gemara says, they told him, try it out, Nasi is also Malashan nest. Maybe after all, there's going to be a nest involved as well. And sure enough, when he dips it and he's cured, then he realizes that, yeah, it was a nest that was Malubash in Teva. But now he comes to offer Elisha money because he figures still the Teva is the most important thing. Okay, you were a doctor, you healed me B'derech HaTeva, I got to pay you your fee. Elisha tells him, I don't want to take because it was mainly a nest. It was a nest that was Malubash in Teva, but it was still a nest. When Gehazi goes and takes money from him, that's why Elisha was so upset because he says, effectively, what you did is you reduced it back to Teva. You claim that there was no nest here in the first place, and therefore I'm entitled to be paid for it, and that was wrong. Okay, so now we come to the censored piece of Gemara. The other example of Rabbi Shoban Prachio pushed away Yeshua Notzri with both hands, and we've talked about a number of times before whether Yeshua Notzri is the same one that the Goyim believe in. Let's not get into that again. Okay, Rabbi Shoban Prachio Maihi. What is that? Maihi. What does that do? Like Kidikatlinu Yanai Malka Lirabonan, there was a period of time when Yanai HaMelech was killing the Chachamim. The Gemara in Kedushin tells us the story of how he became a Tzaduki, and he was very angry at the Chachamim for claiming that his legitimacy as a Kohen Gadol was in question. Because his mother, there was a rumor that his mother was a Shvoya. So he was killing the Chachamim. Also, Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya, the Yeshu, Alexander Shemitzayim. So Yeshua ben Prachya, along with his Talmud Yeshu, went to Alexandria in Egypt. He had a shlomo when there was peace, when things calmed down. Sholach le Shimon ben Shatach. So Shimon ben Shatach, who was Rabbi Shua ben Prachya's Talmud, he was the Nasi in the next generation, and he was, by the way, he was able to be there safely because he was Yanai's brother-in-law. His sister Shlomtzion was Yanai's wife, Yanai's queen. So therefore, Shimon ben Shatach himself was protected. Yeah. So he sent a message. Mini Yerushalayim Ira Kodesh. From me, Yerushalayim Eir HaKadosh, Lichi, to you, Alexandria Shem Mitzrayim, Achosi. He said, my sister, like Alexandria is a very important Jewish city. Alexandria in those days was like New York nowadays. It was like a huge city full of Jews. Or not full of, but whatever, a large part of the population is Jewish. So Achosi, Baili Shori V'Sechich, my husband, meaning Yeshua ben Prachya, is living among you, Vaniya Sheves Shemema, and I'm sitting here desolate without him. Come off. So Yeshua ben Prachya started coming back. And on the way, they happened to stop off at a certain inn. Ogdala Yakara Turba. They honored Rabbi Shimon Prachya a great deal. He's the Nasi of the Jewish people. Omar, so he says, Kama Yopa Achsanya Zu. How wonderful is this Achsanya? Now, the word Achsanya has a double meaning. It can mean the inn. It can also mean the innkeeper's wife. So that Rabbi Shimon Prachya meant it in the first sense. Yeshu took it in the second sense. Omar, so he says, Rabbi, Einer Trutis. her eyes are trutos, which in actually says over here means round. There's a few different explanations among the Poshim, whatever it means. Like, her eyes are not nicely formed or whatever. Amalei, so Yeshua ben Kracha tells him, Rosha, Kachata Oifek, Rosha, what are you involved in that kind of thing, looking at other people's wives? Atik Arab Meir Shippuri, so he brought out 400 shofaris, Vishamtein, he put him in Cherem. Also, this is the being dosed in with both hands, which we're saying we shouldn't have done. Also, Lakame Kamazinin. So afterwards, this Yeshu comes back to Yeshua ben Tzachia a number of times. Amalei Kablon, accept me back. Accept me back with your Talmud. Loi have a Kamash Kafe. And all this time, Yeshua ben Tzachia is not paying attention to him. Yom Echad, one day, have a Kakori Krishna. There was a time when at one point Yeshua ben Tzachia was saying Krishna. Also, Lakame, and as he's saying Krishna, Yeshu comes to meet him. Sovel a Kabuli. At that point, Yeshua ben Tzachia figured, you know what, I should talk to accept him back. But he made him a motion with his hand. Like, I can't, I'm in the middle of Shema. Wait a second, yeah. But Yeshu misunderstood it and thought it meant he's pushing him away. So that's it. He went and set up a brick as an idol. And he started bowing to it. And apparently, from the next piece of the Gemara, convincing other people to bow to it as well. Amalei, so later on, Yeshua ben Tzachia comes and meets Yeshu, and he says, Hodabach, do tshuva. Amalei, and he uses the same excuse as Gechazi, before Kachim, for blinding him, Kalachot, your master, said, I'm making a speech, and we had a lot of tshuva. Ver Amalei, and we talk to find the Brisa, Yeshua Anotri, Kishif, he did Kishuf, Behisis, Behidiach, Yisrael, and he convinced Jews to worship Avodah Zarah. So that was all, though, the fact that Yeshua ben Tzachia pushed him away with both hands is what caused that. If he had been smiled at him in Karevet, like he's supposed to, then there wouldn't have been all that. So we talked about, is it the same one that the Christians believe in or not? Maybe, maybe not. You have different opinions among the Rishonim that we talked about.
He overdid it for the 400 surfers and everything at that point?
No, the fact that he was waiting so long to accept him. Yeah. Okay.
Why don't we say the person should be careful with the language? He said that's Tanya. He could have been.
Okay. I don't know. He figured that his Talmud is on a level 10. Okay. Tanya, Omer of Shimon Alonzer, Yetzer Tinek Vihisha, when it comes to the Yetzer, meaning Taiva, and when it comes to Tinek, a child, the Isha, and a person's wife, you also have to have the same kind of thing. You have to do both. In other words, Rashi says, for example, with the Yetzer, you can't completely push her away because you have to do period of Arabia. So you can't completely suppress your yetzer. On the other hand, you can't keep it too close because then you're going to indulge in it too much. So you have to smell derchavim and mekarevus. Same thing as far as a child and as far as a wife, dais and kala. So you have to be careful. You have to treat them. You have to treat them with both ways. There has to be the smell derchav, but there has to be the min mekarevus. So you're not overly pushing them away, and you're not overly indulging what they want either.
Why are you with chinuk and
because the dais and kala. In particular, actually, the Ravid writes in one of his Sforim that Yetzer over here, Taka means the Yetzer. He brings a couple of explanations, but one of them is the Yetzer, Taka means the Yetzer of Tashmish, of having relations. The person has to control it. The Isha over here means, for example, when she wants jewelry or fancy clothes or whatever, don't just give in to everything that, it's not appropriate to give in to everything she wants. It's not appropriate to refuse everything either. You have to have, there has to be a balance.
Sometimes,
yeah, basically. Okay. Turn it up on. Gimel Chaloyim Chola Elisha. Elisha was sick three times in his life. Echad Shigida Drubim Mitinaikis. One was as a punishment for having incited bears against the boys. This is another story in Malachim over there. The Gemara discusses the details of it in Saita. That after Elisha had cured the waters of Yericho, the people of Yericho came and complained to him that the water over here was no good, it was killing people. So Elisha cures it by pouring some salt into it. It healed it. Adayim, as they, by the way, that spring is still flowing and it's still good water. It's near Jerusalem. Nowadays it's an Arab territory, but yeah. Anyway, whatever. Arab occupied territory. Arab occupied. Okay. So then afterwards, the pasuk continues that some Naorim Ketanim come and start making fun of him. Alei Kireach, Alei Kireach. As the Gemara says in Sota over there, they're saying, Sheikrachta Aleinu Sabachim, you've made this place bold for us. Up until now, we made good money selling water to the people of Yericho. Now you've interfered with our parnasa. So Elisha realizes that the total Roshoyim, their mothers became pregnant with them on Yom Kippur, and none of their descendants are going to do any mitzvahs or whatever. So he curses them in the name of Hashem, and bears come out of the forest and attack and kill 42 of them. So even though he had his reasons, nevertheless, it was wrong for him to do that, to have Jewish kids killed that way, and for that he was punished with a sickness. A second one, he became sick because of this, that he pushed away Gechazi with both hands instead of giving him a chance to do tshuva. The Echad Shemesba, and then there was a third time he got sick before he died. Shenema, the Pasuk says, Elisha Cholas Chol Yevigover. The Pasuk says that Elisha became sick with the sickness with which he died, implying that he had been sick previous times. And also, you have a triple expression in the Pasuk, Chola, Cholyoy, and Asher Yomu, implying that there were three sicknesses. That's what Rashi says. The third one being the one he died from. So up until Abraham, there was never any outward sign of old age. Therefore, called the Chodil Abraham Amahai Yitzchak. So anybody who sees Abraham thinks it's Yitzchak, especially because we know that the Eberstein made them look very much alike. Called the Chodil Yitzchak Amahai Abraham, and anybody who sees Yitzchak thinks it's Abraham. Bo Abraham Rachmi, so Abraham, Davin for Rachmanus, from Eberstein, Delehevelitikna, that he should have signs of old age, a white beard, wrinkles, etc. Shenem of Abraham Zakin, Baba Yamin. That says Abraham was old, came into days, implying that he's the first one to have that. Which means, by the way, Mefarshim say, I think the Marashah says, you have Zakin in this past week's parasha, for example, you had Minarvat Zakin by Sidoi. They were old in age, they were old on their birth certificate, but they didn't necessarily look old. Abraham is the first one who actually looked old.
And he looked old because?
Because of this, because he davened that should happen. And the Medrash says in a little more detail that Abraham says it's not just me and Yitzchak. Anytime you have old people and young people, people aren't going to know who to give covenant to, etc.
There are other things also when you prepare your estate.
That's a different thing. That's the next thing. That's the thing. Okay. Ad Yaakov lehava chusha. Up until Yaakov, nobody was ever sick before they die. Ba rachmi lehava chusha. Yaakov davened that people should be sick before they die. Yeah, so they have a chance so his children can come and be there when he dies, and so he can give a will, so he can do tshuva, etc. Yeah. They said to Yosef, behold, your father is sick. The behold implies that it's an amazing thing. Nobody's ever been sick until now. And you have the famous thing, it's brought in Pirkei Avot Eliezer, that up until then, a person would sneeze and die, and that's why now we say gesund when a person sneezes. Ad Elisha lehava inish cholish demitach. Now, until Elisha, it never happened that a person was sick and then recovered from it. But also Elisha, Barach maybe Itzach. Elisha davened that there should be such a thing. A person should be able to be sick and still recover from it. Shenemav, Elisha choleas choleas. She almost died. It says Elisha was sick with the sickness with which he died, implying that he had been sick before, which was an unusual thing because up until him, that never happened.
Therefore, when
Yaakov was sick, he knew he was going to die. Exactly. Right. They say, by the way, a verse on that, besides that we learned it from Hinei, that it's a sudden thing, there's also an interesting verse that they say, usually, we know from the Gemara in many places, you shouldn't directly tell a person outright, you shouldn't tell them bad news, you should try to hint it to him somehow. So why are they coming to Yosef and saying explicitly, your father is sick, instead of some sort of hint? Because nobody had been sick until that point, and if you gave him a hint, he wouldn't be able to get the hint. So they had no choice but to tell him openly, and they're in. So therefore we see that it was the first time. Okay. Mishnah says, Dura Mabel Ein Lam Chelek Olam Haba. The Dura Mabel does not have a place in Olam Haba. The Ein Omdin Bedin. They do not stand up in judgment. In other words, Hashem does not judge. In other words, Hashem is not going to judge them. Different Mefarshim argue is, if we're saying that they're Omdin Bedin, would that actually be worse or not? So some of them are the Yad Ramah says, for example, the Dura Mabel got their complete punishment via the Mabel. Therefore, they don't need any more din. The point is, in other words, for example, there can be a din by Tchias HaMesim. There can be, for example, that we learned near the beginning of the Perek with the Marshal of Antoninus and Rebbe over there, that the Avish to put the body and the Neshama back together and the judges them together. The Dura Mabel, they're done with. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Yoda in Ruchi Ba'adam La'olam. It says,
Right.
But also it means they're not going to be judged. The Eibush doesn't have to judge them again because that's it. They're gone. Shenema lo yoda in ruchi ba'adam la'olam. The Pasuk says, my spirit will not judge man forever. And this is before the Mabel. This is at the end of Parashas Bereishis. Meaning, lo din v'lo ruach. There's no ruach. The ruach doesn't come back for tchias ha'meisim. And they don't have a chelik l'olam haba. And there's no din. They don't stand in judgment. Dura Floga in Lam Khalik Lamaba. The Dura Floga also has no Khalik Lamaba, the ones who built the tower of Babel. Shanema, the Pasuk says, Vayota Hashem Oisim Bishama Pnekal Earth. The Pasuk says Hashem scattered them from there across the face of the whole earth. Uchtivum Bisham Hefitzam, and it says that from there he scattered them. So the double expression, Vayota Hashem Oisim Bailamazet, or Mishama Pitzim Hashem La Ulamaba. So they were scattered in this world, and they have no Khalik Lamaba.
Media Canadian Media. They wanted to be active in one place.
And therefore they were scattered, yeah. The people Sdoim, again, it's a pity we didn't manage to get to this during this week when we were talking about them or whatever. The passage says the people Sdoim were evil and sinful to Hashem very much. In other words, both in this world and next world. But they are going to stand in judgment. In other words, Hashem is going to judge them. So the Yad Ramah says that it means that actually it means having to be judged means they didn't even get enough of their punishment in Olam Hazeh. In addition, they're going to have to be judged a further judgment because they didn't get their full punishment in Olam Hazeh. As opposed to the Dor HaMabul. The Pharisee Sirol wants to say that maybe Omdin Badin actually is a little bit better for them. Maybe it means that they have a chance to defend themselves in court or whatever. Okay. Reb Nechemia Omdin Badin. Reb Nechemia says neither group is standing Badin. Mefoshim also talk about is Reb Nechemia arguing about the Dor HaPlaga. When he says Elu Ve'Elu, does he mean to include the Dor HaPlaga, or does he only mean the people of the Mabul and the people of Sdoim? Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Alkein lo yakumu Rishoyim b'mishpat, as the Pasuk says, therefore the Rishoyim will not stand up in judgment, the Chatoyim b'adat Tzadikim, and the sinners will not stand in the group of Tzadikim, Alkein lo yakumu Rishoyim b'mishpat, the Dor HaMabul, the Chatoyim b'adat Tzadikim Elu Anshei Sdoim. So therefore, in other words, they're both on the same level. Amrulai, so the Chacham answered, you can't prove anything from that, Rabbi Nechemia. Fine, it means only by that tzaddikim. Sure, they don't stand together in the congregation of tzaddikim to be judged as tzaddikim. Avol only by that Rishoyim, they may well be judged together with the group of Rishoyim.
Doesn't tell you that they have the chelak in
it. Nei, the chelak is fine. I'll came like a kumur Rishoyim by mishpat. They're not going to yet. But
they're judged with Rishoyim.
They're judged with Rishoyim means they're going to be punished further. In other words, yeah. Miraglim ain't lam chelik loyim abba. Next, the miraglim do not have a chelik loyim abba. Shenema, as the pasuk says, by Yamusuha Noshim Lekir Debas Oretz Yisrael b'Magefa L'Hashem. The people who spoke evil about Eretz Yisrael died in a plague before Hashem. By Yamusu loyim azeb b'Oyim azeb b'Magefa loyim abba. Dura, we'll talk in a second about this. Dura Midbar ain't lam chelik loyim abba. The Dura Midbar does not have a place in loyim abba either. They ain't only madin, and they do not stand in judgment either. Again, according to the Yad Ramah, that means if they're worse off, Ein Madin actually, according to the Yad Ramah, also the Marsha, means the Dura Midbar is actually not as bad off as the Miraglim. The Miraglim are Ein Madin. They not only got punished in this world, they're also going to be judged again, lost in love. As opposed to the rest of the Dura Midbar, weren't as bad off because they didn't directly speak Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, therefore they're Ein Madin. The Tiferes Yisrael, again, wants to argue the other way around. Maybe the Miraglim are a little better off, because first, they died an unnatural death, and therefore, maybe that's a bit more of a kapara for them. Okay. As the Pasuk says, in this desert, they will be finished off, and there they will die. So therefore, again, the double expression means another Mazan and another Mabah. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, no. Aleihem Omer, it's about the people of the Dor HaMidbar. The Pasuk says, Isfuli Chassidai, gather to me my Chassidim, Kurse Brisi Ale Zavach, the ones who made a covenant with me over a korban, meaning the Jewish people, the Dor HaMidbar, who were there at Matan Torah. They were there when Moshe brought the korbanos the day before Matan Torah and sprinkled the blood and whatever. They're in a covenant with the Eved. And therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says that, no, when it says, Isfuli Chassidim, gather me my Chassidim, means they're going to be gathered in Lar Lababah. Yeah. Now, we say over here the Miraglim and the Dor HaMidbar. On the face of it, what's the difference between them? So again, according to Maharsha, the vote is the Miraglim are worse off than the Dor HaMidbar because they're the ones who actually spoke Lashon Hara. According to Tiferes Yisrael, it's the other way around. They're not as bad off because they had a Miss Mishuna, and that was Mechapa for them.
And they cried, but at least they themselves didn't
say Lashon Hara. There is a verse from the Rama Mifano that's actually brought, I think, in Chassidus. The Rabbi brings it in the Sicha and the Chud Sichas, that when we say about the Dor HaMidbar, Ein Lahem Chelek Lahem Abba, means actually the opposite of what we would think. It doesn't mean they don't have a Chelek Lahem Abba because they're too low to have one. It means Fakir, they're on such a high level that they don't even need Olam Abba. They're beyond Olam Abba. Alderach, like I said, because they were first. They were there by Yitzchak Mitzrayim. They were there by Matan Torah. They were there the third day or whatever. So even though, yes, they did the Savera, and therefore they had to die in the desert, but nevertheless, on a Ruchniyistic level, they're beyond even Olam Haba. Like the Alter Rebbe says at the end of Hayyim, I don't want your Gan Eden. I don't want your Olam Haba. I just want you alone. So they have this world.
The whole time,
yeah.
That fits with Rabbi Akiva, a bunch of Israel.
Well, factually, though, the Gemara is later on going to say, the Gemara is going to be surprised how Rabbi Akiva could say such a thing. The Gemara is going to say on him, Shabshir Rabbi Akiva l'chassidus, that Rabbi Akiva has abandoned his chassidus, that he's always sticking up for the Jewish people. So according to this explanation, the answer is, no, of course Rabbi Akiva is sticking up for the Jewish people. But why is he using an expression, Eilam Chayot Alam Abba, that's misunderstood to be saying they don't deserve a Chayot Alam Abba, when really he means it the other way around? Adas Korach Ein Asidalal. It's next. The congregation of Korach, the people who were burnt with him, some of the Poshim will say also the ones who were swallowed up into the ground, Ein Asidalal, so I'm never going to come up again. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Vatachas Alema, or the other way around. It means the ones who were swallowed up in the ground. Maybe it also means the ones who were burnt. Whatever. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Vatachas Alema, or it's Ba'olam Hazeh. The Pasuk says the ground covered them up, which means Ba'olam Hazeh. Vayovim Yishach HaKol, and they were lost from the congregation, meaning Ba'olam Haba. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Again, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says no. Aleihem Omer, it's about them. The Pasuk says, Hashem Memesim Chaya. Hashem kills and brings back alive. Murdered Sha'ol Vayal, he brings down into Sha'ol, into Gehenim, and brings back up. They will come back up again.
How did they die, the Meraglim?
Rashi brings on a pasuk from a medrash that their tongues extended down to their navels, and then worms came out from their tongues and entered their navels, and they died from that. So if we're saying Ein Asidalalos, it sounds like it would mean that they're not going to come up. In other words, they're in Gehenim, and that's that. But according to Rabbi Akiva, no, Merid Shor Vayal, they will come back up. And actually, Meforshim bring the vote is that pasuk is in the Tefillah of Chana. Chana is the mother of Shmuel. What do we find? Rashi mentions on Parshas Korach. What brought Korach to do this whole thing in the first place? He knew he had Ruach HaKodesh. He realized that Shmuel and many other tzaddikim are going to descend from him. So he figured, I must be the chosen one of Hashem. That misled him into attacking Moshe and Aaron. So therefore, like Chana feels a certain responsibility. Like if it hadn't been for my son, who's going to become the great Navi and Tzaddik Shmuel, then Korach, our ancestor, never would have done this in the first place. Therefore, she has to daven on his behalf. And murdered Shor Vayal. The pasuk says that Hashem destroyed, that Hashem erased all of the everything that was standing, every creature that was on the face of the earth. And then the pasuk continues, they were erased from the earth, meaning la'olam haba. So that's what Rabbi Akiva says, they don't have a chelek la'olam haba because of that. Rabbi Shurban Meseira Omer Lechayin V'Lenidonin. Rabbi Shurban Meseira says that they're never going to come alive again by Tchias Abesim V'Lenidonin, and they're not going to be judged. They're not going to be judged. Shneema, as it says in the pasuk, as recorded in the Mishnah, Lo Yodin Ruchi Ba'Adam Lo'Din V'Lo'Olam Lo'Din V'Lo'Ruach. My spirit is not going to judge the people forever. Meaning, there's not going to be a din. There's not going to be a ruach. That's the Jerem Amol. Davar Acha, La Yodin Ruchi, another explanation of the word La Yodin Ruchi, Shaloi Tehe Nishmas and Chazeres L'Nidna. It means that their neshama is not going to return to its casing. We're dashing the word Yodin, the Lashon Nidan, which means like a sheath for a sword. Like you put a sword into a container, into a sheath. That's called in Hebrew Nidan. So the neshama is never going to return to its sheath. Nidna means its container, its sheath.
What's the sheath of
the neshama is the body, yeah. So the neshama, their neshama is never going to return to its body. Rabbi Nachman by Yosef Omer, Afkilu B'Shal Shachadosh Baruch Hu Machzor Neshamas B'Zor Emesim, even at the time of Tchias Emesim, when the Eibishter is going to return the Neshamas into the dead bodies, Nishmasam Kosher Lahem B'Gehenim. Their Neshama is going to make it hard for them in Gehenim, meaning Rashi says, their Neshama itself is going to be burning them in Gehenim. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Taharu Chashash, you become pregnant with Chashash, which is a type of very flammable, a very easily flammable straw. Tel dukash, you give birth to straw. In other words, like you tried nothing, you tried vanity, you tried worthless stuff, and you end up with worthless stuff. Ruchachem, esh techelchem, your spirit will be a fire that consumes you, meaning their neshamas are what actually consumes them and consumes their bodies in Gehenim, and therefore they don't appear to me.
Why is that?
Because of the Avedim, but they did it. I was going to go on to say it. So that's it. The Dara Mabu are gone.
What was the
Avera
that deserved that?
We're going to see. The Gemara is going to talk about what the Avera of the Dura Mabel were. That's going to be the next bit of the Gemara. Turn it up on. Dura Mabel, when it's go, El Bishvil Toyla Sheishpia Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. First of all, the Dura Mabel only became proud and did Avera because of the tremendous amount of good that Hashem bestowed upon them. In Chassidus, by the way, it talks about the idea that each millennium of history corresponds to one of the six, to one of the midas. The first millennium of Chesed, the second Big Vorta, etc. So the one we're in now is Yisoid, and then there's the seventh millennium, which is Yemos HaMashiach, is Malchus. So in particular, then therefore, so it was a time of unrestrained chesed, and then as the Gemara is going to say, therefore, so they had all the good, all the possible goodness that you could have in Elam Hazeh, and that made them rebel. So what kind of things does it say about them? So you have a chapter in Eov, where Eov is complaining during the debate back and forth with his friends, how you talking that the Rishoyim have such a good time in this world. And he gives an example, the Pesukim, that he gives over there, the Gemara is going to explain, I'm referring to the Dirt Amab. But Tehem Sholem Mipacha, their houses are at peace from fear. The Lois Shevet Alekaleim, the stick of Hashem is not on them. In other words, they have no fear of punishment from Hashem. And the positive thing is their oxen become their cattle become pregnant and never reject the zera. In other words, they always every time they become pregnant, so therefore they're able to have large herds in a very short amount of time. To foul it part of like the shakel, when it comes to giving birth, the cows give birth and they don't miscarry. And the passage continues, Yishalchu katzon avilehem, they send forth their children like sheep, v'yaldehem yirakedun, and their children, their young children dance, which means, the Medrash says, by the way, it means that it's the famous thing, that was their baby was born in those days, it was already, right away, physically mature. So like they could, if they wanted to, like the expression of the Medrash is, like the mother could tell the baby right after it was born, go get me a pair of scissors to cut your umbilical cord.
Yeah.
And the positive continues, Yisu b'soif b'chino, they raise up their voices in singing with drums and harps, the Yismachu b'chol ugov, and they're happy with the sound of an ugov, another musical instrument. And the positive continues, Yuvalu yimehem batov, v'shnoitim an'imim, they spend their lives in good, and their years in peacefulness. And the positive continues, v'rega sh'ol yechatu, and in a moment they go down to sh'ol. So Rashi says on the positive over there that it means that even when it comes time for them to die, they don't have to suffer, they just die immediately. Marsha says that no, this last part is talking about how the marble, all of a sudden they're destroyed in a short time, but still the point is up until that time they were living a good life.
So what's the avera here?
So this caused this that they were having the good life caused them to say about the Edishner, also in that same chapter in Eos, Surmi Menu, they say to the Edishner, go away from us. The Das to Achacha Leifafafnu, we have no desire to know your way. Ma Shakai Kinavyanu, what is the Edishner that we should serve him? Uma Neo Kinikabe, what are we even accomplishing by davening to him? Meaning, Omru, they said, what do we need the Edishner for after all? We need him to give us drops of rain? We don't need that. We have rivers and we have springs from which we can get all the water we need. We don't need the Eivishter for anything. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Eivishter says, look at this, the very good thing that I bestowed upon them, that they're using to anger me. That's what I'm going to judge them. I'm going to bring a marble of water.
Because they
said that we don't need the Eivishter for water, so therefore they're going to punish with water. The Dirt HaMabul only became proud and did Averis and ended up doing, in particular, Znuth because of the eyeball, which is similar to water. So it actually says, like you have water comes out of a small spring, like the size of an eye. Marsha says the vote is an eye has, you have a pupil in the middle, you have an iris and a pupil in the middle, and the white all around it, resembling the way the water surrounds the earth. So therefore, in that sense, the eye is like water. And in fact, Marsha says the vote is, and you say Mishum Gavala eye, it means they open their eyes as wide as possible to be able to get in the unsmiestikite and you go after their tithes and whatever. So therefore, like, they're showing as much as possible the whites of their eyes, but representing like the water that surrounds the earth. Therefore, Shanema, Vayikholam Nashim Kerla Shabacharu, as the Pasuk says, they took themselves wives from everybody they chose, which as Rashi says on the Pasuk over there means even Ashes Ish, even Schor, even etc. Yeah. And therefore the Eivishter to punish them with water, which again is similar to the eyeball. As the Pasuk says, all of the fountains of the great deep were opened up. And the windows of Shemayim were opened up. Omer Rabbi Yechanan, the Rabba Kilkalu, the Rabba Nidonu. the Dera Mabel did wrong with Rabba, and the Pasuk describes what they did wrong with the word Rabba, great, and Barabba Nidonu, and they were judged, they were punished using also the term Rabba, using something very great and powerful. Barabba killed Kalushan, and Vayara Shanti, Rabba Ra'at Ha'adam, that their evil is great. And then they're getting bigger and bigger, basically. Over Rabba Nidonu, and also with Rabba they were punished, never come minus to him. Rabba, as it says, all the fountains, all the wellsprings of the great time. Since we're mentioning those fountains that were opened up, after the marble, three of those hot springs were left. So the hot springs underground opened up, and that's the boiling hot water came out, as we're going to say later. Three of those hot springs were left afterwards. Blua together, the Enir Rabsi Debeira. These are all different hot springs in various places in Eretz Yisrael. Some of them are potion, Ben Yahya says, for example, doesn't mean that some of them are potion, say there are many hot springs in the world. What about if you have various ones in Europe and North America and whatever? We mean in Eretz Yisrael, these are the only three that were left. Tveria and Deiram. These are three places in Eretz Yisrael that have a hot spring. So some of the potion say it means that these attacks are the only three left from the marble because all the other ones are from other sources, not necessarily from the marble. The Ben Yahya says it just means three that are left in Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't mean there can't be other ones in other places in the world. Yeah, that's what Gemara says later. Yeah. That's they were punished with boiling water because, yeah, that's an Amud Beis. The Pasuk continues, so now we're going to darshan in some of the Pasukim about the marble. The Pasuk says, the Hishchitz Kovasim of Dauke Allah, it says that all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Amud Yechanan, what do you mean, all flesh? I mean, even the animals. Malamachi who be of Behema Achaya, it means that they crossbred domestic animals with wild animals, Bahayal Behema, and wild animals with domestic ones, Mahakal al Adam, and all kinds of creatures with people, but Adam al Akal, and people with everything.
What are the animals?
So some of the Mepharshim say that the Taka the Gemara says later that what did the animals do wrong? Why did they deserve to be punished in the Mabel? And the Gemara gives the reason. So according to this, what do you mean? They did do wrong. So some Mepharshim, yeah, the Marashah says, for example, it means because people forced them to do it. Yeah, okay, but I don't know if you say that by animals, but the people forced them to do it. Some of them of course should say, okay, but afterwards maybe they got in the habit and started doing it themselves.
They
had the shemitah within Nayak, and that includes knowledge of bestiality, yes. So on the other hand, that's the other thing Marshall says, is even if the animals did it on their own, they're not obligated in this. So therefore, if they crossbred with other species, fine, they're doing wrong, but you can't say that they deserve to be killed because of it. Yeah. That's the point. Yeah, that's going to be later on in Al Gemara, but that's the point. Marshall says later on, if we're saying that the animal didn't deserve to be punished, so what do we mean? We're saying over here they did. And that's the two answers. It's first of all, the people made them do it. And second of all, even if they did it voluntarily, fine. That's not an Aveira. Animals can't do Aveira, but they should deserve to be punished. After the marble taka, all of the animals went back, all of the animals taka did tshuva and stopped doing that kind of thing, except for the tushlami is a type of bird that still does that, but it's still promiscuous, they'll just mate with anything.
Okay.
I guess, I don't know. The birds also, but the point is, the ones who were in the taka, as the word is going to say later, are the ones who taka did not do this, who were not marbiya min b'shein imin, right? That's the only one today that still does that. That doesn't mean machine in okay. The pasuk is by Yirmiyahu Hashem Noach Kate Kolbasa Bolafana. The Eibush that says to Noach, the end of all flesh has come before me. Where are we? Yeah, Amar Yehuda. Boil a Kamagod or Kol Chashal Chamas. Come see how powerful is the power of Chamas of robbery. And in particular, the Medrash says the famous thing that the kind of robbery they did, is the kind they'd take less than a pruta. They take less than a pruta, and therefore it can't even be collected and basted. And the Medrash gives an example, like a person would bring out a barrel of beans, for example, to sell, and everybody would take one bean. So then by then, there's nothing left, but he has no recourse in basis. But come see what the power of Hamas is, try to dirt a marble over Alato, because you see the dirt a marble was violating all kinds of mitzvahs. The Gezel was only sealed when they started getting involved in Gezel. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Mola or Hamas with them, as the Pasuk says, on robbery. As the Pasuk says, the earth is full of robbery because of them. And I'm going to destroy them together with the earth. Uktiv, and then you have a posik in the Chesbol that says a chomos kom lamate resha. The posik says chomos again robbery has stood up as a rod of wickedness. Loy mehem, not from them. Loy mehamoinam, and not from their large amount of money. Loy mehem mehem, and not from their children. The first one have various opinions what mehamoinam and mehem mehem mean, but whatever. The point is that he's saying I'm not getting anything good out of any of them. There's nothing in them worth saving. Loy noyach b'hem, and there's no noyach in them. Which means, Mepharshim say on the simple meaning that noya means nobody is sighing, nobody's saying, oh, we should either be doing tshuva or whatever. And nobody's wanting noya malachim noya, like a person wants to follow the Eidosh. Nobody wants it. So what's the hachomas kom lamakei resha? Om rabba lazim, alamit kezokas asne kamakko. It means that the hachomas that the people were doing stood itself up like a stick. Especially, Marshall says, like you have all these individual beams and individual splinters and whatever that people stole all just together, eventually as one gigantic stick. But the snack of the sparkle and stands in front of the Eishet. But Amal upon him, he says, "Rebunishlam loy mehem, none of them deserve to be saved. The loy mehem moinam, and none of their wealth. The loy mehem mehem, and not from their and not from any of their burdens or any of their children or whatever." Because there's nobody among them who's looking for good. The chomos itself, the averus that they did, are coming and accusing them in front of Eishet. But afal noyach neftem gzadin, and really even on noyach the original gzadin was shenema v'loy noyach b'hem, because we darshin the word v'loy noyach b'hem as if it was v'loy noyach b'hem, like even noyach himself doesn't deserve to be saved from among them, because he himself wasn't the greatest guy possible. For example, some of them, the folks can say actually that he himself may have been involved in Gezel if he did Chula, but whatever, the Gemara is going to say later, you have the famous thing that he wasn't necessarily as great as compared to other generations. He was the best in his generation, Menachem. Tadik Vidur, yeah. Tonik Vidur, Shmo, Afal Noyach Nesach Zardin. In fact, yes, Zardin was in fact made on Noyach as well. El Shemotachin, Be'ani Hashem, except that he found favor in Hashem's eyes. The Pasuk says, Hashem says, I regret that I created them, but Noyach found favor in Hashem's eyes. We darshan as if the word Noyach is connected to the previous Pasuk. I regret that I created them as well as Noyach. But in the end, Motachain Be'ani Hashem.
Why? I mean, what made him find and.
So again, either because Noyach himself did tshuva, because his averus weren't as bad as the other people. Some of the Mepharshim also say the vote is that Noyach was not giving the people mussar. Now, the Gemara later on says he did, but it's not enough. And we know the same. We know the very famous thing that Noyach is the archetype of the tzaddik in pelt, who only cares about saving himself and not everybody else. So therefore, we know from various places in Gemara that a person, we learned a few days ago about Tzidkio, for example, if a tzaddik does not give toichacha to the rishayim of his time, then he's caught up in their avedas as well, because if he's joining in with them. So therefore, in that sense, yes. Okay. The post is Vayinochem Hashem ki osa et ha'odamaret, but Hashem Vayinochem, now the word Vayinochem can have a double meaning. It can mean regretted, and it can mean he was comforted, that he created man on earth. He also did a gini, almost, and when the gini came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, well, no, I mean, the Pashas was before the Bible, but wait. When the gini came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he said, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I mean, the Eretz said, Yosa of Jesus, the Kantelan Kvoris Baruch Hu. I did well that I made for them Kvorim on the earth. Meaning the Rajanasi says that the Eidoshir is saying, like after the fact, it's a good thing that I destroyed them. In other words, even though this passage is written before the Marble, Rashi doesn't say clearly, Marshal spells out more clearly, in Muslim or Mokabatara, this passage is referring to what the Eidoshir is saying after the Marble. I'm glad that I destroyed them.
My mashma, why, how do you get that from Vayinochem Hashem? Ksivhocha Vayinochem Hashem, Uchsivosim, Vayinachem Oysim, Vayidabra al-Libam. You find elsewhere the word Nachem is used to comfort a person after somebody died, like Yosef comforts his brothers. So therefore, like here, the Eved says, comforted, I did good by destroying them. The Ikadamri, another version.
The other version is Hashem says, no, I didn't do good by burying them in the earth, in other words, by destroying them. I should have given them another chance. Hashem regretted the evil that he planned to do to his people after the Chatei Egel, so you can see that it can also mean that the Eved regretted that he destroyed them.
Did he give them a chance?
He gave them 120 years, I think I was going to say later. But anyway, the Yad Ramah actually understands the two things the other way around. That he was comforted that he made them kvaris ba'aretz is, in other words, fakir. That the Ezrashter is saying it's a good thing that I didn't destroy them in previous generations, that previous generations were able to die and be buried normally.
Uh-huh. Now he's saying about the, and the second version is he's regretting, why didn't I bring the marvel earlier instead of waiting until things got specific state. Okay, but the point is, these are the two different versions of how the Yiddish looks at it. Again, of course, then it wouldn't might have had to be such a total disruption. Yeah. Of course, the Yad Ramah makes the point, as always, that Hashem doesn't really regret things, we're just talking in human terms. Okay. The passage continues, Eila told us Noach, Noach ish tzaddik tomim hayu b'dedai. So it says, these are the generations of Noach. Noach was a tzaddik who was a perfect in his generation. So here is the famous thing, Amar Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan says, only in his generation, he wouldn't have been to the tzaddik in other generations. Says in his generation he was a tzaddik, how much more so in later in other generations you would have been a great tzaddik. Yeah, you can look at it positive and negative. The Rebbe talks about Nesicha, by the way, one reason why, a number of reasons why faculty do that. One of them is that, like this, we know, again, Noach didn't daven for his generation, or at least not properly. We should have that, but we should learn that that kind of person is not really the ultimate kind of tzaddik. Otherwise, if you were told he's the ultimate tzaddik, you would think, okay, well, that's the right thing. The Roshayim, forget about the Roshayim, let him be destroyed. Okay, the fact that we're told that he's not, that is, tell teachers don't learn from Noach in that regard.
About
us, like,
isn't it?
Nice
to everyone
so bad.
You know,
what can we draw an analogy to what Rav Yochanan is saying? He's a tzaddik only relative to his generation. It's like a barrel of wine that's in a whole wine cellar full of vinegar. When it's in its place among the vinegar, its smell spreads out. You can tell that there's wine there. But if you don't have it there, if you have it among other barrels of wine, the smell is not as noticeable because it's not necessarily such a great quality of wine itself. It itself is like half sour wine. Compared to the vinegar, it's good wine, but not skin. On the other hand, what can we compare what the Shlokish is saying to? It's like a flask of Palyotin, which actually says is a type of perfume that has a very fragrant, that this fragrant spread very easily. It's in a filthy place. Even in that place, the smell is still very noticeable. How much more so if you put it together with other spices, then it would be even more, it would be even better. The pasuk says, "Vayimachas kolayikum asher al pnei ha'adama," the Eishte wiped out all of the creatures on the face of the earth. Famous question, like we said before, Adam caught the behemoth machal. So the people sinned, what did the animals do wrong? It's like a marshal of a man or a person who made a chuppah for his son. The hiskin, the communist Buddha, he prepared all kinds of delicacies for the Buddha. The yomim mesino, later on his son dies. Omer of Bilbo of Pizir, that's chuppah. They went and then tore down and messed up the whole chuppah. Omer, he says, Kuma, sisi, alu, shuru, me, after all, I made the whole thing for my son. Akshav Shemesh, now that he's dead, chuppah, what are you ready to chuppah? I'm a soda. Eivish just similarly says, "Klumbar off the behemoth of a chayah el b'shul adam." One of the whole purpose I created the behemoth and chayah for was for the sake of man. After shul adam poyped, now the people are sinning and they have to be destroyed. Behemoth of a chayah lomavi. What do I need the animals and the what do I need the domestic and the wild animals for? You. The passage continues. We call up the cholovim. You see that from all everything that was on dry land died. Means v'loy dogim shavayam. The fish in the sea did not die. Marshall points out, even though the Gemara talks on Amud Beis, that the water was boiling hot, it was only boiling hot over the continents, over the land. In the sea, it wasn't. In the sea, it was cool. So therefore, the fish could still live. With that said, by the way, I once saw in a couple of the Richard Miller's stories, he talked about, you know, they found a fossil of fish up on high mountains because they found them on the top of the Himalayas. So how do they come to be? Because the pasture was doing it in the marble and the whole world was covered with water. Fine, you have the fish in general are not killed. So it's probably an individual pool of fish that died during the cataclysm of the marble and everyone, their fossils ended up on top of the mountain. Because the mountain was covered by the cover during the marble, yeah. Yeah, fossils are like impressions and rocks of dead creatures, yeah. Yeah, we're covered with 16 ounces of water, So there was also covered. The Medrash brings machlokas, is it that it was 16 amos above ground everywhere, so like the water was sloped in different places, or does it mean it was the height of the mountain plus 15 amos? Yeah. Okay.
We found the table
went
way up in the
up in Mount Ararat, yeah. Yeah. Anyone have any questions? Dorish of Yosef in Pesach. My dichtim, what does it mean? A pasuk in here
This is in another chapter in Eov where Eov is complaining about why the Rishayim have it good in the world. Kalhu al Kremayim, the Pasuk says, it's light on the water. Kul al Kokotam Ba'aretz, their portion in the world will be cursed. Malamachar Yanoyah Hasadik Mechiyah Sam, it means that Noyah Hasadik was giving them water. Maybe not as much as he should have, but at least he gave them water. And he says to them, Asu Tshuva, do Tshuva, the Imlava, Kadosh Baruch Hu, maybe I'll let him with a marble. If not, the Eidosh is going to bring upon you the marble. Umakta Nidwak, come up Nam Alamayim Kazikin, and he'll make your bodies, your dead bodies, float on the water like empty, Zikin means empty bag. Like wine skins or whatever. You use the whole wine, they're going to float. Shenema, Kaul Rop Nenayim, as it says, light on the surface of the water. Like your bodies are going to be floating there on the surface. And not only that, Elisha Loikim, they have Kuala, or Boy Olam. In the future, everybody in the world is going to use you as an example of a Kuala. We learned in Rav Messiah about the Yishapara, the curse that you give to somebody who doesn't want to go through with a business deal that he agreed to. And he said, Yishapara, Mamshah, Gerah, Kuala, or Mamshah, Marble. So he mentioned the Marble, and that's an essence. Shanema, to Kuala, Kokal, and Marif, as the Pasuk continues, their portion in the earth will be cursed. The Pasuk continues, Lord Yifna Derech Krom, and the Pasuk continues, they will not turn in the way of vineyards. Malama Chayim Mephanim Derech Kronim. What does that mean? Malama Chayim Mephanim Derech Kronim. It means that they were going in the way of vineyards. There's a few different explanations. Rashi's explanation of Derech Kronim is a way through a vineyard is not usually a straight path. It's crooked, there's thorns in the way or whatever. So therefore, it means they weren't going in the straight path they were supposed to. They're doubtful going in crooked paths.
Omaloi, so the people tell Noyach and Mima Akiv, no, if you're saying the Eivishter is going to win a Babel, so what's he waiting for? Omalahem, so he tells them, Prida Achas Yeshli Lahoitzimichem, I have one precious dove to take away from you, meaning the Lidrashi says, Mr. Shalach has to die first. He's Dachat Tzadik, he doesn't deserve to be destroyed in the Babel. So therefore, because Prida literally means a dove, but it means something precious. So because of that, some of the Mephoshim have a different explanation. Because of that question, why can't the Eivishter just put Mr. Shalach on the Teva as well and bring the marble earlier? So because of that question, some of the Mephoshim explain that actually the Gemara over here is not Noach saying to the people, but Mr. Shalach saying to the people many years earlier, you should do Tshuva or the Eivishter is going to bring a marble. And they're saying, well, then why can't he bring it now? And the answer is because Noach has yet to be born. And if he destroys the world now, then Noach will never be born. They answer, in that case, we're not going to go from our path. We're going to continue walking on the path to the vineyard, meaning in crooked paths. If that case, they're saying, then in that case, we have time, basically. Then we're no hurry. We may as well continue acting in our wish. If you're saying that Hashem has to wait because for Mr. Shalach to die or for Noach to be born or whatever, so in that case, we're in no hurry. We may as well continue in the ways that we're going.
Did I say the stuff, or did that somebody stuff, or that was someone else that could... he took him away early because he...
That's Chanoes, you think. That's Chanoes, that he shouldn't do that. But again, there's a lot of other different explanations of what the Derech Kromim business is. Marsha says that what it means is that they were making fun of Noach. Look at this. You're the guy who we know is from the story after the Marble that he planted a vineyard and got drunk and whatever. And I don't know, Marsha, I mean, that's after the Marble, but still, maybe he had a susceptibility to it beforehand. Maybe the people knew he had a weakness for wine even before that. You're telling us that we should be careful about the Derech Kromim. Speak for yourself. You should be careful about the Derech Kromim. Why should we bother with you yourself on that? Darash Rava, my dichtiv. What does it mean? Another pasuk in Eov, lapid buz. This one, Mephoshim have it. Mephoshim over there on the pasuk have a field day with various explanations of the pasuk. But here we're going to dash it anyway. Lapid buz, a torch of mockery. La'ashrus shanan, for the thoughts of the people who are complacent, the people who are comfortable, who think they're in good shape. Nachon l'moya de'regel, is prepared for those whose feet are going to stumble. What does this mean? Malama Chayim Noya Hasadik Mechiyachosam. It means that Noya Hasadik was giving them Musa. Vo'imalhem Zvonim Shem Koshim Kalapidim. He was saying to them words that are as harsh as torches. So lapid bull. Lapid. So he's giving them like a torch. And maybe the vote is, by the way, you know, we always talk about that Noach didn't give the people Musa, and here from the Gemara we see he did. But maybe the vote is what we had on Amud Aleph and what we're having over here. Maybe the vote is, as you said, you kind of like you have to have smell this and mean that. Instead, he's giving it to them with both barrels. You're going to die. Your bodies are going to be floating on the surface. I'm giving it to you with a torch or whatever. Maybe he should have tried the more gentle approach, and he might have had better results.
Well, people say that only they came and asked him what's the building, then they told him.
There's that too, right? Yeah. So he's telling me. So he says to them words as harsh as torches, and booze, they were making fun of him. They said to him, Zokin, Teva Zulama, this old man, what are you making this Teva for? Amalam, he says, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe Aleichem as a marble. They should bring a marble on you. Amu marble shalma. So they say, huh, what kind of marble do you think the Eibishter can bring to destroy us? In marble shal eish, if he's going to bring a marble of fire, no problem. Yesh lo nudava achav alisa shma. We have something called alisa, which Marsha says is identical with the salamandra, which the Gemara mentions in a few places, that blood makes you fireproof. Very well, we'll use the salamandra and we'll be fireproof. The im shamayim who maybe, and if the Eibishter plans to bring a marble of water, well, it depends. Imina oritzu maybe, if he's going to bring it water welling up from the ground, yesh lanu ashoshi estrabazo, then fine, we have big heavy pieces of metal, shana machafim behemes aritz, we can cover the whole earth so that the water can't get through. Imina shamayim maybe, and if he wants to bring it down from heaven, yesh lanu dover v'okev shmoy, we have a thing called okev, v'amilo okesh shmoy, or other states called okesh, and Mefarshim say that's some kind of sponge which can absorb all the water. So therefore we have nothing to worry about. So Noach tells them, who may be ben ikvei ragleichem. The Eibishter can bring the marble from between your heels. Which means, Rashi says, using your own shichmas zera, the Eibishter can destroy you. And that you can't control, that there won't be any of it. Or the other explanation, Rashi says, is literally, the Eibishter can bring it out from within your feet. You can't cover your feet with metal permanently. So they remember the Eibishter has his ways, no matter what. That's why the pasuk finishes off over there, that it's prepared for when their feet stumble. In other words, the Eibishter can bring it out from their feet alone. Tanya, maybe a marble cushion for shichvas zera. The water of the marble was taka as harsh as shichvas zera, meaning Rashi says hot and thick. In other words, it wasn't just water, apparently. It was hot and thick, maybe like more like lava, kind of. As we just said, that's prepared for the stumbling of the feet. And it's shichvas zera is associated with the feet because it comes out from between the legs. Lamaya de regal means for the stumbling of the feet. In other words, they stumbled, they were tripped up by something that normally comes from between a person's feet, from between a person's legs, namely shichvas zera.
But more de regal is what?
More de regal means people who stumble with their feet.
Because
person trips. They did their Averis in a boiling way with Shichvat Zera, which is hot, over Reus Chenidonu, and they were punished with boiling water.
What about the Hamas and the ceiling and everything?
So we said that the Gzar Din was done because of the Hamas, because of the robbery. But nevertheless, this that was so indiscriminate that it destroyed everything, there's a Medrash that says that Znus is what causes that kind of thing, that there should be an indiscriminate thing that kills everybody, the good and the bad, that comes when there's Znus. So when they were punished with boiling water. We know that because here the Pasuk says that after the rain stopped falling, the water calmed down. And in Esther, in the Gilas Esther, you have the anger of the king calm down. So in other words, the word shachacha refers to something that was hot and then went and
went.
So we're saying, in other words, there were both. There was chamas and there was nut. Each of them was needed. If it hadn't been for chamas, the Gzar Din wouldn't have been niskatim. The Eibishter would have given them another chance. If it hadn't been for those nut, then it wouldn't have been so indiscriminate. Not really, almost there. We're still a few blocks behind, but okay, we gotta.